If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Look, the way I feel is like this. The problem here is black and white justice, because I can recall a gang of white people that then did some f***ed up shit, like Kennedy. Kennedy Jr. raped a bitch on f***ing TV, on video, and that motherfucker got probation. This man, a prominent black man in a f***ing community, this man supposedly kicked somebody, and they ready to throw away the key on him. That don't make sense. That shit ain't right. I think LA need to have another motherfucking riot so people wake the fuck up. Because I'm sick of that shit.
Why did the convict have to be a black guy? It is such a stereotype.
And now,
what's up with that? That's white America for you, right?
Our feature presentation.
That is one of my favorite people.
Yeah, that guy's great.
I love
Somebody him. Brought him up this week. It might have been Mike. We're talking about how we haven't heard from him in a while. And he was right. And I blame myself, because you guys don't understand. Kennedy Jr. Mm-hmm. raped a bitch on TV.
Yeah, it's not like that. That didn't happen at all.
First of all, it wasn't Kennedy Jr. It was William Kennedy Smith,
right?
Who's in the family, but not Kennedy Jr. Second of all, he was acquitted of raping the bitch. And third of all, it wasn't on TV.
It's not like there were live cameras and they were doing the news piece and he was in the background doing it.
He might have been a little confused.
I mean, what does that guy think happened?
I don't know, but I love him.
I mean, it really does sound like he thinks that happened. Like, that happened on television.
He
got away with it because he's white.
Who did that interview for us? Do you remember we sent somebody out, didn't we, to talk about Suge Knight? It was around the Suge Knight trial when he got busted for parole. That's what he was complaining about, is the difference in the white and the black justice, because Suge, you know, he didn't feel like Suge was treated fairly.
And that was when he was in the, MGM Grand in Vegas, and he kicked.
And got that fight, because he was on probation, remember, and then he kicked a dude and got sent back to prison, and the guy goes on later in the tape to complain that, the white guy gets to show up to court wearing a suit, why Suge got to be in blues? It's the best. But I can't remember where we got the tape or where we found that guy.
Yeah, I don't either.
I don't know. Someone from the show went out and got
it. I sure will.
I don't remember who it was.
Maybe it was Lightning or somebody like that. I don't know.
Oh, maybe it was.
We should have stayed in touch with him, though. That's for sure.
Oh, that guy. I would like his comments on everything.
He would be our 2008 political correspondent.
Yes,
I'll tell you that.
Oh.
He'd cover the crime beat for us. We have that going on.
John McCain raped a bitch on TV.
I love him.
Speaking of sports, today's the day.
Yeah. Hey.
What happened yesterday in that playoff game?
All right, let me back up here for folks who don't follow baseball.
That's me.
Because this has been an unbelievable week. The White Sox, who had a great season, by the way, and by all accounts were heading toward the postseason, had a meltdown recently. And they ended up losing five of the last six games of the season. Fortunately, they won the final game against Cleveland on Sunday. Okay. Then they're a half a game behind the Minnesota Twins to try to win the American League Central. So they had to go back and play a game after the regular season that ordinarily wouldn't have been played if it had no playoff implication. But since it was so close, they played it. So they made up a game that they had lost against, that they had missed against Detroit earlier in the season on Monday. So they had to win that game to be tied with the Twins for the division lead. You follow me so far?
Yes.
All right. So they beat Cleveland on Sunday to stay alive and be a half game back. Then they had to play another game on Monday against Detroit and win that one just to be in a tie, so that yesterday they could have a playoff game between Minnesota and Chicago to see who would win the division and go on to the playoffs. 1-0, they won that game with a home run in the seventh inning. That's what it ended up coming down to. That was the difference between the season. That was the difference between who goes on and who doesn't.
So the White Sox are moving on?
So the White Sox are moving on. The White Sox now will be opening against Tampa tomorrow.
Here's all I know. I know the White Sox raped the bitch on TV. That happened. That just happened.
It's the first time in 100 years that the White Sox and the Cubs have both been in the postseason in the same season, by the way.
And they're in different leagues?
Or yes, that's right. They're in different leagues, yeah. So they've been, they've each been in the postseason many times in the last 100 years, but this is the first time that they've both been in together. So you can imagine Chicago is going crazy. Southern California has two teams in the playoffs also, which is,
both start today, right?
You start thinking about, potential freeway series. As unlikely as that is, it does happen from time to time. But it's very exciting, and the Dodgers have to feel pretty good, don't you think, Mike? I mean, Derek Lowe couldn't be any hotter right now. Yeah. He's starting today.
And the Dodger team in general is just playing really – they're just playing a great dangerous right team right now, the way they've been playing.
How's Manny? Is he still driving in runs?
Yeah, Manny's on fire. The problem is the Cubs have a really solid pitching staff, you know, from top to bottom, and the Dodgers don't necessarily have a very complete batting lineup outside of Manny as far as power goes, so they can pitch around him. And I anticipate that they'll do that.
They will.
You will not see
Manny.
Just
walk him?
You will not see Manny getting a lot of good pitches.
Whatever happened with him having to cut his hair? That was all the rage. That
oh,
they,
I remember.
They
yeah.
got rules. They have rules at that club.
He cut it, but not as much as everybody thought he would. Is that right, Mike?
He did. He like trimmed it up.
He trimmed it.
When he wears his helmet now, it appears as if he has short hair. It's still there, but he trimmed it a little bit and he tucks it.
He puts it.
It looks
puts
ridiculous
it in a bun.
With that
nice
hair.
Bun.
He puts it in a bun. That's nice. That's a very nice look for a baseball player. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
It's Wednesday, and it's the first of Foxtober.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Do you mind if I photograph you in the nude?
I don't.
Something think... special for you, Kevin.
I don't.
Megan Fox, Megan Fox, yeah. Oh, Megan Fox. Big bulgy things are going to happen. And by that, I mean a Megan Fox, outside my window. Megan Fox, behind the tree. I wish the whole world could see that she has the most perfect boobies. And it's Megan Fox, outside my window, please.
This isn't good.
Megan Fox.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Why is she so hot?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, remember Transformers was you checking under the hood?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Yeah, that was good. I like to check under her hood, if you know what I mean, with my dipstick.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, she's so hot. Yeah, and Kevin, you're gay if you don't like this song.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
It's Foxtober.
Megan Fox, outside my window. Megan Fox, behind the tree.
Did I mention she's hot?
Come on. Megan Fox.
Come on. Looking forward to that. Been looking forward to that. Congratulations to Omar.
DJ Omar Khan.
On
it's Foxtober.
He tries to make those songs worse every time, doesn't he?
Yep.
And by worse, you mean better.
And by worse, I mean not as good as the last one.
I enjoyed that thoroughly. What are you talking about?
He couldn't sound any creeper songs. About looking under her hood, I'll
no
tell you that.
That is
it
not sexy.
A little demented. Well, you don't go to Omar for the sexy, okay?
No, that's true.
I'm so happy
wow,
Foxtober is here.
Well, that's the only time we're going to play it. All right, let's talk about
it. And if by saying that you mean we'll be hearing it every day, yes.
That's exactly what I mean. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Okay.
Right.
LaQuisha is back.
Yes.
Very
yeah!
excited about this.
God bless her, because I did not want to have to watch this show.
Paris Hilton's My New BFF.
Yes.
Where she apparently, it's some kind of a huge contest where 300 contestants show up, and they have to narrow them down, and... If you win, you get to be her new best friend, which, of course, you know isn't going to happen.
No. Paris will never see the winner of this competition right. again after the final episode is wrapped, ever.
But that's on that show's on TV.
That's right.
So LaQuisha will tell us all about that. We have the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, coming in today.
Oh, it's wonderful. We can go out for coffee.
Hope he doesn't find out we've been to Vegas 3 or 4 times and haven't looked him up.
Uh-oh.
No one mentioned that.
Uh-oh. Also on today's show, people who take fat out of their ass and put it in their lips and the long-term effects that might have on your face.
Get a butt face.
It's my point.
Don't encourage him, Lisa.
Thank you.
Don't encourage him.
That's my point.
All right.
Also, I don't know if you heard yesterday, but Ralph was talking about the Knight Rider GPS, where the dude, you know, the actual voiceover guy that did the, the voice of Kit.
Yes.
William Daniels, right?
Gives you directions. On the GPS.
He couldn't have been more happy.
Oh, he was so excited.
Oh, he's already bought it. I guarantee that. Sure. He found out about it yesterday morning. I'm sure he had it installed at Best Buy last night.
Cannot allow you to jeopardize your life. I am assuming control.
Yeah, that's going to happen. Also today, we are going to talk more about the Dodgers and Angels as they both begin their playoffs today.
Okay.
And we have a new intern, Tiny Dancer. We're going to talk to just after the top of the hour. I don't know if you heard it yesterday, but we were talking to her about... two things, the weed pharmacy that she works at and the strip club that she worked at.
She may be the perfect woman. I mean, when you think about it, when you think about what you're looking for in a woman, she's got all three of them. She's got those.
Sure.
She's got the stripper skills.
Right.
And she's got access to the high-quality bud. I mean, what else do you need? If she owned a PlayStation, I'd marry her.
Well, we didn't ask. Maybe she does. Maybe she already owns one.
All right.
And we'll continue to tell you about the amazing healing properties of the brand new K-Rock sticker. We have just realized that if you put it on your car, you will no longer have cancer. It will heal you
of
cancer. Yes.
That's great.
That is awesome.
And any pain in your lower back also will just go right away.
Okay.
Well, you would think that we would have mentioned that right out of the gate.
Well, we didn't realize it right out of the gate. But
kind of burying the lead a little bit by saying it's a good-looking sticker and you could win concert tickets if it, in fact, also cures cancer.
Right. Well, we were concentrating on the 2009 Toyota Matrix and every concert next year, the K-Rock Golden Ticket. But that's when we didn't have any idea that if you have leukemia, take a ride in a car with a bumper sticker, gone.
Wow, that's great news.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat coming up next. Morning, Ralph Garman.
Good morning, Kevin.
What's going on?
Billionson. What's your last name?
Ryder.
Ryder. That's it. Yeah.
Were all of Kevin's car doors closed this morning? Did you notice on your way into the building today, Ralph?
Yes, but the hood was up and the engine was sitting next to the car. I don't even know how he did that one this time.
That's weird.
He's
weird.
Going back out later.
I think he wanted to change his oil, then he said, I'll get it later.
Got to tune it up.
Yeah. It was up on blocks the other day. We don't know what that was about. I don't know. It's weird. All right. It's, Wednesday morning already?
I believe it is, yes.
First of Foxtober. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
We play that song again? We have time for the Foxtober song?
Nope, we don't.
Of course we do. Are you serious? You want to hear it again?
Yeah.
That's good, right?
I loved it. Just give me a little...
I don't think we have
little
the time.
Taste
a little Foxtober celebration. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. We were saying that maybe Omar... Maybe too creepy to sing these songs anymore. We may have lost Omar.
Something coming from you.
Megan Fox, Megan Fox, oh Megan Fox.
Things
are gonna happen. And by that I mean a Megan Fox outside my window. Yeah. Megan Fox behind the tree. I wish the whole world could see. That she has the most perfect boobies, and it's Megan Fox outside my window pane.
Ow, Megan Fox.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Why is she so hot?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, remember Transformers was you checking under the hood?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Yeah, that was good. I like to check under her hood, if you know what I mean, with my dipstick.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, she's so hot. Yeah, and Kevin, you're gay if you don't like this song.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
It's Foxtober.
Megan Fox, outside my window. Megan Fox, behind the tree.
Did I mention she's hot?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, sweet.
That's good, right?
That's creepy.
Omar sounds like a pervy Muppet.
Yeah.
When he sings that song.
He does.
Yeah, she's really hot. I just hit it with my dipstick.
He's working right into the bean world.
It's like Grover trying to rape somebody or something. It's just weird.
But less creepy, more gay.
I dig it. Well, officially, there is no reason now to watch this season's Dancing with the Stars.
Like there was?
Oh, no. Did they already get rid of her?
Kim Kardashian has been bumped off the show.
Mendale must be weeping this morning.
What are they thinking? What are they thinking?
I don't know.
She's horrible.
Whatever.
Have you seen her in those costumes?
I know. She looks awesome.
She looks amazing. Meanwhile, Cloris Leachman dances on.
Ow. Yeah. Yeah. And she's terrible, right? She's just got personality. That's the whole deal there, right?
Yeah, Cloris Leachman's funny. That's why they kept her on. Kim Kardashian offered nothing to the show other than her voluminous bosoms and her round, beefy ass. In the post-performance interview, she said no, she hadn't scored well, but she wished she could have gone on to wear some more cool costumes.
That's what she wanted?
That's what we all wanted.
Wasn't about the dancing?
No. So, sadly, she's no longer with us.
Glendale!
She's dead?
Sounds like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an elimination ceremony. They actually kill you if you get voted off now.
Brutal. They make you dance to death. Speaking of the show, ratings out for last week's top 10 shows on television now that we're back into the fall season.
Mm-hmm.
Dancing with the Stars. Number one show in America.
As usual.
Number two, Grey's Anatomy. For Bean and his people. Desperate Housewives, with a strong comeback last week, was number three.
Wow. ABC's on fire.
Then the Dancing with the Stars rematch, recap, Votapalooza, whatever the hell they call it.
They had two nights of dancing the first week.
NCIS came in at number five. Sunday Night Football came in at number six. CSI Miami was seven. Criminal Minds was eight. Dancing with the Stars, yet again, at number nine. And number 10, The Mentalist, starring our pal Simon Baker.
That's pretty huge for him,
the top 10 show, the brand new show right out of the gate.
Did you say that three of the top 10 were Dancing with the Stars?
I did indeed, sir.
And number one, how on earth is that possible?
Because America
is bad.
Is bad.
Yeah. Why are you bad, America?
Thank God for football, or NBC wouldn't even show up in that top ten. That's all true. They got.
That is true. Here's some exciting news. According to, well, several sources, Elizabeth Hasselbeck may be leaving The View.
Stupid-ass bitch.
Reportedly, she's really upset, in her words, about recent political discussions on the show, and she says she can't win against her loud liberal co-stars Joy Behar and Whoopi Goldberg.
That's accurate. I mean, she just can't. They're louder and more obnoxious than she is.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. It's not just because they're loud. It's because she's dumb.
Yeah. Well,
a smart Republican could crush Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar. They're not geniuses. You're just dumber, Elizabeth. Word is that she may be moving on to the Fox News channel for her own show.
Are you kidding?
Yeah. So.
My question is,
I don't know what Fox News has done to deserve that, but.
My question is, who's watching The View?
Beam.
Beam? Lots of people. It's popular,
it's
popular
it's
show.
It's topical and informative, and I like it.
It's always entertaining. I love The Interviews.
Honestly, I mean,
they have a lot of good guests. They have a lot of good guests. See?
That's what honestly. I'm talking about.
Isn't, though, the only interesting part of that show, the really interesting part, the soundbite part, when they get in big fights
that's
with
the
Elizabeth?
Only thing that's what makes me entertaining. Usually, yeah. Yeah. It's when they make her cry. That's my favorite part of the show. Speaking of Whoopi Goldberg, a lot of testimonials and kind words coming out in the wake of Paul Newman's death, but this was unexpected. Whoopi Goldberg said this week that she was actually good friends with Newman.
No, I didn't know that.
Look, nobody's perfect.
Sounds
I'm
suspect.
A big Paul Newman fan, but look, everyone's entitled to a mistake here and there. Apparently, about 15 years ago, she was very sick and fell into a coma. And when she woke up, she found Paul Newman at her bedside.
What?
Stupid-ass bitch.
Apparently, he heard about her sickness and showed up and stayed by her side until she woke up.
Wait a minute. They weren't friends before that?
No, they had been off and on. But it was that moment where he really kind of showed up and lent his support. And from that point on, they were very close friends.
Is she sure that she wasn't just having some kind of a dream before
maybe
she came
it was
out?
A doctor just had blue eyes. Yeah. Maybe she was confused.
Any old white guy will do.
They all look alike to them, right?
Sure.
You're saying the white dudes?
It's a strange story.
Absolutely. Yeah.
No, but I think it shows you that Paul Newman, that's how great Paul Newman was. He could even like Whoopi Goldberg. That's how big his heart was.
Yep.
What a good guy. Congratulations to Mark Wahlberg and Rhea Durham. Their newborn son, just 2.5 weeks old, finally has a name.
They're celebrities. It better be bad.
They are celebrities, but they are bucking the trend.
What?
His name, Brendan.
Come on.
I know.
We've heard of that name, though.
Where's the joy in that?
Come on, celebrities. Brendan, you're supposed to name your kids all kinds of effed up things.
Brendan Joseph Wahlberg.
Count on that.
It's totally
boring.
Normal.
Yeah. Disappointing.
Shia LaBeouf, one of the hottest up-and-comers in Hollywood, says he's just not feeling the love.
From
the fans. He says he rarely gets any fan mail. I think it's odd, because the girls think he's dreamy.
Sure.
Especially the tweens.
And all of his movies are big hits.
Say the most memorable fan letter he ever got was from a guy in prison.
Oh, that's not what you want.
Oh!
That's
bad.
I'd like to give you some Disturbia. Right in your hindquarters. Prisoner 9126732.
And Daniel Craig admits there were a lot of accidents on the set of the new James Bond movie, Quantum of Solace.
That's a bad title, but I've seen some of the trailers. It looks great.
Looks great, yeah. The title is one of the accidents of the movie, by the way.
But he vehemently denies there's anything like a James Bond curse that has taken over the film franchise. He says that risks have been minimized for all the action sequences, and everything was carefully choreographed. That's why people died and stuff. Two stuntmen were injured, one seriously. Daniel, who performs a lot of his own stunts, lost a fingertip while performing one of his own stunts and suffered a gash in his face. Friends say it was the first time Daniel's had a gash in his face ever.
Oh, wow.
No, it was the first time he's ever been hurt in the face. So that was a new thing for him.
Okay.
So,
are you kidding me?
They had some plastic surgery to fix that right up.
There are fans in their car right now saying, what?
And Vern Troyer has a hot new girlfriend.
Nope.
That'll make you feel better about yourselves, boys.
Nope.
Pictures in this week's InTouch magazine show Mini-Me on a chair dancing with his new girlfriend.
because he's short, you see, he's got to stand on a chair to dance with her.
And still comes up to her waist.
His girlfriend, Dominique Arganese.
Sounds hot.
Dances next to him with her booty pretty much rubbing in his face. She's hot. I've seen the pictures.
Oh, come
great.
On.
Yeah, sorry. What do you want for
beware of the midgets. They're taking over the world.
They sure are.
It's true.
And Russell Crowe says he's a new man since having children. He's doing a lot of interviews for this new show, Body of Lies, this film he's got in theaters with Leonardo DiCaprio.
That
and
looks
he says
good.
It does look good. Being a dad is the most fantastic thing he's ever experienced. He says he has more fun with his kids with each and every passing day. It's made him a new man, and he cannot wait to throw a phone at their heads, he added.
Really? Did he say that?
That sounds like
surprising.
A good time.
No wonder he's having so much fun. Oh. Well, I got some people that don't fight back when he picks on them. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Model, actress, at one time the most downloaded woman in the world, Cindy Margolis, celebrates her 43rd birthday today. Did you ever see her in Playboy?
Yep.
I believe so, yeah.
She looked terrific. Speaking of Playboy, yesterday it was announced that Blackie Spice, what's her name?
Mel B.
Which one is she?
Melanie,
I think she's
Mel B.
Yeah,
from the Spice
Mel B.
Girls.
Okay.
She is going to appear in the pages of Playboy.
Yeah. Oh, she's got a
very
great body.
She's got a killer body.
Uh-huh.
She's going to look
killer.
Outstanding. Give me some of that black sugar.
Uh-huh.
Or brown sugar, whatever they call it.
Down.
Give me all of it. Give me black and brown sugar.
I think she's got all sugars.
In a grande latte. That's where I want it.
And she's had at least one kid, maybe more, and she looks unbelievable.
She had Eddie Murphy's kid. I know that.
Yep.
Yeah,
I think
that's
that
right.
may be the only one.
That's right.
But she looks terrific, so I cannot wait. I'm looking forward to it. Isai Morales from NYPD Blue also celebrates his birthday today. 46 years old today. Remember him in, what was that, Richie Valens story, La Bamba?
Yep.
With Lou Diamond Phillips, he played the older brother.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like totally just completely a cholo. And then he comes to NYPD Blue and he's like the slickest, coolest guy around. And he's a very nice guy. I've had a chance to meet him a couple times. Randy Quaid, very talented character actor, is 58 years old today. I still remember him as Chevy Chase's brother-in-law in all the vacation movies, all the National Lampoon vacation movies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very, very funny. And Julie Andrews. What can you say about Julie Andrews?
Kevin can say, who is she?
Right, and I would respond, you know, Mary Poppins, Sound of Music, you know.
I know
Kevin
who she is.
She's acting old. Broad.
I know who she is because my mom's favorite movie was Sound of Music, and so she made me watch it all the time when I was a kid.
It's a classic. Every year around Thanksgiving, they crank it up on the TV.
Yeah, but how often can you watch it?
I played Captain Von Trapp in high school. You kidding me?
Is there any tape of that?
I don't know if there's any
look into that, would
any
you?
Any film of that particular performance.
You look into that.
I rocked Edelweiss, mother effer, I'll tell you that.
I bet you did.
Brought down the house.
Kevin, weren't you Liesel in some sort of a production of Sound of Music?
Liesel?
Aren't you?
Liesel's the 16-year-old
I know.
Daughter,
she's,
I
know.
Maybe.
What?
That's what I thought. I thought I heard that somewhere.
Was it in prison?
I am 16 going on 17.
All right. This is what we have to do for the holidays. I think we need an all Kevin and Bean show performance of The Sound of Music.
No, I think not.
Let's bring it up on stage.
It's a great idea.
Mike can play Rolf, the Nazi messenger boy.
he'd have to be.
Kevin can play Liesel.
Don't I have to kiss him?
I believe you do. Lisa can play Marta or Brigitte or one of the other daughters.
One of the other us. Who knows?
Alex could play the Mother Superior.
Oh, very good.
Dave could play
somebody. The German dude that comes in.
Yeah, the bad Nazi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that was Ralph.
Rolf. He becomes a Nazi, but there's another bad Nazi who's
trying. Are we still talking about Sound of Music?
I believe we are. Of course, will reprise my role as Captain Von Trapp.
Of course you will.
You'd have to.
And I think Omar for Maria. The hills are alive with the Sound of Music.
I think you're onto something.
Sound of Music outside my window.
Oh, dear God.
I'm loving it. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Stop playing the Red Hot Chili Peppers!
Wow. All right, so RHCP. Good.
Well, we did. We just stopped playing them right there. We already took care of it.
That's a good point. That's an instant request right there.
Cool.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock 106.7 KRQ, the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton on the way. Plus, we'll tell you in a minute how you can win tickets to every single concert that K-Rock participates in. that we sponsor, that we put on, that we go to, that we've heard about in 2009. All that on the way. But first, the Kevin and Bean Afro line, 323-520-AFRO. That's our answer machine that we have set up and running for you 24 hours a day for you to leave a message.
And we say you can call on any topic, but I think perhaps this person is taking it just a bit far.
Hi, I have diarrhea.
Oh, really?
No, I don't think necessary. That's actually one of those things that you just keep to yourself.
Yeah.
And you suffer silently.
We all know what it is.
You don't need to tell anyone.
You understand what it feels like.
Yeah.
Just lock yourself in your bathroom.
Yeah.
Hey, I heard Bean's cow is real depressed. Favorite bank went under. Wamu! He lost a lot of moolah in the deal.
Wow.
No. See what he did there?
No. Someone's been reading too much highlights.
You guys remember the Eddie Vedder Cubs song that we played yesterday?
Of course.
Sure.
We are one with the Cubs we're in love. Yeah, hold our head high as the underdogs.
I'm sure this is a Dodger fan as the Dodgers begin to play the Cubs in the playoffs today.
Mm-hmm. Can't find a better team. I can't find a better team.
Aw, oh, poor Eddie.
Do we have to counter the Eddie Vedder Cubs song? Do we have to find some
Dodger
Los Angeles
song?
Dodgers fan who's a K-Rock artist maybe and have them record a song and have a song off?
Have a song off? I don't know.
Yeah. Are we looking for something more depressing?
I always think that those songs just end up stupid. Don't you? Like,
well, most of them are not good.
That one's terrible.
That one's terrible, but Cubs fans, including Tom Morello, who we had on the show yesterday, said he got goosebumps.
I know.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, that song sounds terrible, but if you're at Wrigley Field when the Cubs, you know, God forbid, beat the Dodgers today and 60,000 people start singing that song, all of a sudden that song is going to mean something to people.
Yeah.
You guys are stupid about the white pants. My wife wears white pants often, and she doesn't let me in the back door or the front one. Yeah. So you guys are stupid. I'm angry at the world.
Yeah,
should be.
I don't think we can be blamed for that.
Hey, you buried a liar, not us.
Hey, guys, the other day I met a girl. You know what she said to me? She said, I could wear white pants with no underwear. No underwear. No underwear.
Good to see that song coming back. Who was it that said that the banana proves the existence of God?
Kirk Cameron.
That's what this guy's calling about.
If the banana was designed by God to fit the human hand, then so was the penis. And how come it's bad to handle that? Don't the Christians think it's bad to handle the skin mm-hmm. banana?
That's point. How it's referred to in the Bible, in fact.
It is, banana. Yeah.
You know what has little furry balls that hang down? Plenty of it. You know what has big hair that hangs up?
Oh, see what he did there? See what he did there?
Uh-huh.
I knew it. I just saw the new cover of People magazine, the October cover, and Bean comes out. It's about time.
Actually, that was Clay Aiken. That wasn't me. That's Clay Aiken.
It's a different thing.
You know, I was just wondering, with all the financial troubles that are happening right now, you know, someone needs to be asking serious questions like, why is the dollar so low, man? You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
No.
Thank you. And by the way,
that would be stupid.
If I hadn't been so heavily mocked back then for asking that question of Rachel Nichols, the hot actress, then perhaps you guys would have taken it seriously. There would have been an answer, and then maybe we could have avoided all of this.
You weren't mocked because you said it. You were mocked because we saw the response in her face.
She wasn't impressed.
No.
Yeah, I had one of those instant request deals. I would like to hear Bean die. Can we make that happen?
Bean,
can we make that happen?
I'd rather save that one for a later time,
please. Okay. All right.
Yo ho, Lisa's a ho. She's a butt pirate for me. She's such a ho. She likes the back door. Bend over me, hearty. Yo ho. She wears those white pants to give me a chance. Bend over me, hearty. Yo ho.
Well done. That should be a ride at Disneyland.
He put some work into that. Yes, it should, as a matter of fact.
So I was hungry for some spaghetti the other day, but I couldn't eat it because my Paul Newman spaghetti sauce expired on Saturday.
Oh.
Too soon?
We'll be back. The Raiders will be back. We will win.
We will win. That was Al Davis.
Raiders.
I love this guy.
Rain.
Well, they do have the worst record of the NFL in the last 5 years. They have just fired their fourth coach in 5 years, and Al Davis gave a – he's the owner of the team – gave a press conference yesterday that was really one of the funniest things I've ever seen. And to talk about that and everything else going on, our old friend Matt Money Smith on the line from AM 570. Hey, Money.
Hey, what's happening, guys?
He looked bad yesterday, didn't he, Al? He has to die soon, right?
He looked like a messenger of death.
He does.
Worse than bad. I mean, you know what? The best email we got about his appearance, you know, there's all the obvious things. The Crypt Keeper.
Sure.
You know, P says if you lit his head on fire, he'd look like the Ghost Rider.
Right.
But we had a guy that emailed and said, you know, like when you're a kid and you put a sheet over your head and you cut two eyes in it and you're a ghost? It's like Al Davis did that with a sheet of skin. Just put a sheet of skin over himself.
I can't help but think that the Raiders will win when he dies. Like,
well,
when somebody else takes over the team, I think he's the problem and has been for a long time.
I hope I can't get sued for defamation or anything for this, but I think the reason why he is still alive and walking this earth is he's terrified of what's going to happen when his son Mark takes over, because he's just a dundering fool.
Oh, no, his son's going to take over and he's worse?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he would leave it to him. I mean, he may just leave it to some guy named Chad that he met at that makes his track suits. I don't know.
That would be cool.
It's a gnarly situation, and you know, the sad thing about it is, you know, Al Davis was long considered before he went nuts to be, you know, a pioneer in the NFL, one of the most respected owners, a guy that, you know, always thought outside the box and came up with a lot of advancements in the game of football.
Yeah, but Muhammad Ali used to fight, too, and he was at the top of the game. So what?
How dare you?
It's been 25 years since the Raiders won a Super Bowl, though, Money?
It has, but, you know, I mean, they were competitive for a while there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, John Gruden had, it was Bill Callahan, but essentially John Gruden had built them into a contender. Remember, there was the Tom Brady tuck rule in New England. Everyone thought that Raiders team could go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
They went the following year. So I think, you know, they had things going right for a minute there. And unfortunately, it has just been disaster since that Super Bowl in San Diego.
Yeah.
It sure has. You're right. Every year seems worse. I mean, they win, what, 3, 4, 5 games a year tops, right?
They're the worst team. They're the worst team in the NFL since 2003. And when you think about bad teams in this league, like, think about the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
And how terrible the Detroit Lions. Yeah, better record than the Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, that is how bad the Raiders are.
That hurts.
This latest incident, you know, we had Lane on a week and a half ago, and you just felt bad for the guy. You know, whatever you think about a 250 winning percentage and being too young for the job, whatever it may be, but just to have him out there twisting in the wind, you know,
sure,
for the last 6 months is crazy. And then you remember being, hell, I think overhead projectors were around when you guys were in school. They had electricity back then, right? And, you know, you'd understand, he wheeled out an overhead projector. He called AV and had them wheel an overhead down.
Wow.
And threw that letter up behind him to talk about it. It was one of the most bizarre things. It's the most bizarre thing I've seen in a press conference since Jimmy asked Mike Tyson, Mike, why can't you just behave yourself?
All right. Last Raider question, because we got to talk to some baseball and you got to go back to bed. Will they be able to get away with not paying the coach his pay? They said, Al Davis said in the press conference, we fired him for cause. We're not going to pay him. Is that going to stand?
Yeah, always popular, by the way, with the sporting public.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold a press conference to make sure all of our fans know that I fired this guy for cause and I'm not going to pay him.
Yeah.
They have not paid Mike Shanahan. I mean, I don't know how well you guys know this, but Shanahan went through a similar experience as Lane Kiffin. Mike Shanahan, the head coach of the Denver Broncos, has won a couple Super Bowls, very successful after he was fired by the Raiders 5 games into his second season. And they have still not paid him. Since 1989, he has had a legal team trying to get his money from
unbelievable
that contract.
All right.
It begs the question, who would ever work for this guy?
Yeah, no kidding.
Exactly. Yeah, no matter how much you want to be a coach in the NFL, if Al Davis calls, don't pick up the phone. That's our advice. All right, let's...
I mean, you look at the last 2 seasons, and what do you have? Art Shell and Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
That's who his head coaches have been. So I don't know who he's going to find this time around.
Let's move on to baseball. How is it tough for you? Is there any conflict? I guess not. If it's the Cubs versus Dodgers money, you've got to go Chicago, right? I mean, it's got to be where your heart is. Yeah.
I want the Dodgers to lose by 900 runs in these.
And they're your second favorite baseball team, right? The Dodgers.
Yes. I do like them quite a bit. If they won, they would be my team that I would pull for throughout the rest of the
money is money is from Chicago. Those of you that don't know.
Yeah.
And we had Tom Morello in the studio yesterday, and he said that his aunt got him into being a Cubs fan.
Right.
And that she lived 82 years and never saw them win the World Series.
Yeah, I have a very similar story. I have a similar story to Tom as well, because Tom grew up in Sox country, as did I. And, but I just had a grandma who lived to be 94 and saw her. That's why I feel like the Cubs. She was 4 years old when they won in 1908.
No. Oh, God.
It was so funny to have Tom Morello in here yesterday. He's a lifelong Cubs fan, telling us about the first time he ever went to Wrigley Field at age 4 and how his emotions go up and down with the fortunes of that team. And he was so nervous. Even yesterday, he was so nervous in anticipation of the game today. How are you holding up?
Oh, I don't care. I assume they're going to lose all three games, and I'm going to have to hear from, Money, how about your stupid Cubs now? I'm going to have to hear that for the next 6 months.
Hey, Money, I have a question for you. It seems like the Cubs not winning the World Series for 100 years has only made Cubs fans more hardcore. And it seems like, in some cities, people would start abandoning ship after a while.
There is that thought. That's what the Red Sox went through in 2004. What do we do if we actually win? Well, you turn into complete a-holes. That's what you do if you win, apparently. So, yes, there is a little piece of me that's afraid that if the Cubs win the World Series, the Cubs fandom is going to start acting like Red Sox fans, which is beyond annoying. So,
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe losing is a good thing. This is a very good baseball team, though, the Cubs are. They say pitching, defense, Tommy Lasorda will tell you it's the bullpen. They have a great bullpen, an eighth inning and a ninth inning guy, but the Dodgers are very hot right now. They're the hottest team going into the postseason. They've got the best postseason hitter on any lineup, on any team. So they are very dangerous. Derek Lowe pitched great against the Cubs in his two starts this year.
What do you think for the series? Is it...
I think the Cubs would have to be favored. They're really good at Wrigley. They have 3 of the 5 games there, but again, that's 3 of 5 instead of 4 of 7. It's a short series.
Is Furcal coming back for the Dodgers?
Furcal is going to start.
Will that help?
Huge. I mean, the guy was hitting 360 when he got hurt. He's quick. He's got power. I think he dramatically changes the lineup because, essentially, as good as Anobaro was in the field, and he was starting to hit okay, he wasn't feared. You didn't have a pitcher on the mound thinking about throwing him the wrong pitch.
Right.
You have that with Furcal, and then you have that with Kemp. You have it with Ethier, with Manny Ramirez, Russell Martin. I mean, you have a stacked lineup for the Dodgers. And then if, Jeff Kent, it's a tight game, you got Jeff Kent coming off the bench.
Yeah.
A first ballot Hall of Famer, former MVP, that can come off and freak out one of these young kids in the bullpen. So, I think the Dodgers have better than a puncher's chance. I mean, I honestly would not be surprised, one bit. If they won this series, they're that hot, they're that good, and there's reason to believe this could be the year that they shake off, their 20-year drought of having never won a playoff.
Yeah, because they haven't won, in 20 years.
Yeah, one postseason game in 20 years.
Oh, I was just kidding. Hey, let's talk about the Angels and the Red Sox. So you were talking about the Red Sox fans being so annoying. Angels, Red Sox,
God,
start.
I hate them.
They start today as well.
They do, yeah.
And I have a question for you about that. How did the Red Sox lose Manny Ramirez and stay as good as they are?
It's a great question because you look at how much better that Dodgers lineup has been with him in it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, though, Bean, I think this is where that particular move catches up with them. And Manny has been a monster in the postseason. While his average isn't that high, he's baseball's all-time home run leader in the postseason. He had a walk-off against K-Rod last year. I mean, he is just that kind of guy. So I think this is when, not having Manny in that lineup will affect them. Jason Bay's good, but he's not that guy. You'll pitch to him and take your chances, and he's never seen the postseason. He's been a freaking Pirate. What does he know about the playoffs? So I think this is where it catches up.
And who's favored in this series?
Angels. Angels are favored to win the World Series.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Yeah, they got the best record in baseball.
They are real. By the way, where's my money, you a-hole?
You know what? I couldn't find your address, Money. I couldn't find the address.
Oh, really?
I
swear you found it last year when you sent me $100 single bill.
If you email me your address, I will get it out to you today. I promise.
What was the bet? Angels, Mariners?
Yeah. He called me. Do you understand? every year he seeks me out.
I know. And how many games? How many games? How many games?
This year, can I have a bet? Yes, we're going to have the bet. Absolutely, Bean. Every year you can assume I will have the bet that the Angels will have a better record and go further in the playoffs.
How many games did the Angels win this year?
The Angels won 100 games.
100.
How many games did the Mariners lose this year?
I believe 101.
That's correct.
Yes, that is accurate. Yes, they won 61. It was not a good wager this
you
year.
You should
okay?
have to pay him double.
However, nobody saw that the Mariners were going to be one of the worst all-time baseball teams in history this year. Nobody saw that
coming.
Well,
a lot of people thought the Angels could be the best team in baseball, and they are.
And they are
to win the World Series. They have a lockdown bullpen, the best closer in the game. They have a great rotation. That 3-4-5 with Mark Teixeira, Vlad Guerrero, and Torii Hunter is lethal. I mean, it is a great team, and they should just destroy the Boston Red Sox. They should just crush whoever it is comes out of the freaking Tampa-Chicago White Sox series.
and the Angels are healthy, which they weren't last year. And they have, let's not forget, maybe the best manager in baseball, too. So they got a lot of things going for them.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. And I'll tell you, I hope that, look, I think this can work out great for the city. I mean, I think one of two things will happen. It'll either be Angels-Cubs, which will be history in the making. Can the Cubs win their first World Series in 100 years? Can Artie Moreno get his first World Series for being such a great owner? Or you could legitimately have, you know, an L.A. series, and that would just be, I mean, God, talk about having to shut the damn city down.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah, be awesome. All right, listen, dude, we always appreciate your time. Thank you so much. UNP, of course, doing the afternoon show there on AM 570, and we always love catching up with you. And go Cubs, go Dodgers.
Anytime, give me my money, you son of a bitch.
All right, I will.
Time for the Ralph Show this week.
Want to hear from the dumbest man in the world?
We already heard from Al Davis.
Sure.
Interview in Britain's News of the World with Megan Fox's first boyfriend, Ben.
Really? I never heard about him.
Who broke it off with Meg.
We call her Meg now, do we?
Yeah. Before she went to Nikita, where was driven into the arms of the stripper Nikita.
Okay.
He broke it off with her.
Yes. I was the first person to know Megan Fox is sexy, says Ben. They were each other's first boyfriend and girlfriend. It did not surprise me one bit to hear that when we broke up, Megan ran straight into the arms of a female stripper, he says in the interview. Because that was typical Megan. She was wild, very sexy, and totally into exploring anything. At first, I loved that side of Megan, but then 3 years down the line, she just seemed to get wilder and more obsessed with making it in Hollywood. And in the end, it broke my heart, but I had to let her go. I knew I could just not handle her, and I knew she was way out of my league.
Yeah, that's hot.
Megan loved looking at women's bodies, even while we were together. She had no inhibitions, made no bones about the fact she liked to fantasize about being with a woman.
That's so hot.
Yeah.
I am not in the slightest bit shocked that one of the first people she slept with after I had ended our relationship was a woman.
Hmm. Are you reading from his suicide note? Because I hope he took his own life after all this, after Megan Fox became Megan Fox.
No, apparently he's still alive. He said that Megan was always hot. Megan's body has always been totally hot, slim but curvy in all the right places, and she was never shy about showing it off, Ben says. God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would do everything to her. I would wreck that chick.
How do you be Ben now and just walk around and say, yeah?
Yeah.
Walk by every magazine. That's
the girl I broke it off with.
Yeah.
You don't go see Transformers, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure.
Megan Fox, Megan Fox, no. Oh, Megan Fox.
Foxtober. No.
It is Foxtober, Kevin.
You
can't deny it.
One Megan Fox story a day, at least for the next 31 days to celebrate Foxtober. Well, you know, I've ticked off the Christians with my criticisms of Fireproof, Kirk Cameron box office blockbuster.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad to see that other people are getting angry at other people because it makes me feel like I'm part of a larger club.
Sure.
This time, it's the blind folks. They are furious at the movie Blindness.
Which looks awesome.
In which blind people are quarantined in a mental institution. They attack each other. They soil themselves. They trade sex for food.
Yeah.
Mark Maurer, who's blind, says it's not a clever allegory for a breakdown in society. It's an offensive and chilling depiction that could undermine efforts to integrate blind people into the mainstream.
They didn't protest the book when it was a bestseller, by the way.
Yeah, apparently the book and the film use blindness as a metaphor.
Of course. That's obvious from the trailer.
For the lack of clear communication and respect for other human beings in modern society.
like the director says about the film. You can look at disaster like Hurricane Katrina and global food shortage and global poverty and realize there's a lot of blindness in the world. There's a different kinds of blindness, however. 2 billion people starving the world. Some people just don't see it. That's the kind of blindness we're addressing in the film.
But even without that, even if it was just accepted on the face, it's people catching blindness like a disease, and they haven't been blind, and they don't know what to do, and it doesn't have anything to do with real blind people.
The movie portrays blind people as monsters, says the president of the Baltimore-based National Federation of the Blind. I believe it to be a lie. Blindness doesn't turn decent people into monsters.
I think we know that.
No, Lisa, I always thought that. And this movie just reinforces it.
I bet Stevie Wonder killed a guy.
God.
What is wrong with these people?
You know
what
I say to these people? Just don't watch the movie then if you did.
Oh, sorry.
Nicely done.
Just realized. As far as I can tell from the trailer, everyone goes blind by looking at Sandra Oh.
Is that it?
You've known that for a long time.
Yeah. This movie seems completely plausible to me. Yeah.
She plays the president or the mayor or something. Everybody watches her, and then next thing you know,
yep,
your eyes blissfully stop working.
Yeah.
Every Thursday night, that happens to thousands of people across the land on Grey's Anatomy,
that's
too.
I don't watch. I don't want to be turned into a monster, one of those blind monsters.
At least it's going to be sad when they come and take your dog away from you and put her
aww,
in quarantine because she can't see.
She's
now a monster. Lisa's got a blind dog, Ralph.
Yeah, I know. Then Lisa will be blind after watching Sandro.
That's true.
Dog will be leading her into polls.
Lisa, we haven't had time for this, but Lisa does walk her blind dog into polls.
It happens occasionally. Poor dog.
And you know, it seems like every week now I'm mentioning a new movie that is being turned into a musical.
Sure.
Currently set to open on Broadway is Shrek, the musical.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Which should be good times. I mentioned last week that American Psycho.
Sure.
Psycho Mike's favorite book and movie is being turned into a Broadway musical.
Sure.
It's good times.
Tells you a lot about Psycho Mike, by the way. It's a great movie, but I haven't watched it 100 times.
And now, just announced for a limited engagement at the Hayworth Theater here in Los Angeles on October the 18th, the Deep Throat musical.
Okay. All right.
Whoa.
Now.
For those of you who aren't familiar with Deep Throat, it is landmark porn movie released in 1972. That to this day is the most financially successful film of all time. Mm-hmm. It was the porn movie that brought porn into the mainstream, basically. Lovelace, named after the actress Linda Lovelace, who starred in the film. Lovelace, a rock opera, opens at the Hayworth Theater in Los Angeles on the 18th.
I have one of the songs if you'd like to hear it.
I'd love to hear it. Is that the big closer at the end of the first act?
Everybody stands up and claps
before
along.
They go into the intermission.
Yep.
You need a rest after that scene. You need to rest for about 15 minutes before you can go again back into the theater.
That was so funny.
I'm gay, and she turns me on.
Yeah, I bet.
Charlotte Caffey, one of the original members of the Go-Go's, wrote the book, music, and lyrics for Lovelace, the rock opera.
No kidding.
So if you're interested in Deep Throat and rock operas, check out Lovelace. I think you'll enjoy it.
All right! Is this Godhead or what?
Great casting news. Jack Black has just announced he will star in a spoof of The Bourne Identity that is yet untitled. Jack plays a fat American who finds himself washed up on the shores of Cuba with no idea who he is or how he got there, so he comes to the automatic conclusion that he must be a super spy. Although in reality, he is far from one.
That sounds funny.
And chaos ensues. So you can look for that in theaters near you.
I love the Bourne Identity series. All three of them. I thought
they were brilliant. One of the best movie trilogies in a long time. Yeah. And Jack Black spoofing that, I think, could be very funny.
Me too.
And don't forget the Bourne Identity, too. The spinoff of that.
And the musical.
Awesome.
The Bourne Identity musical. That will be on your stage near you soon. Today's celebrity birthdays. Julie Andrews, most wholesome singer-actress in the history of entertainment. She was Mary Poppins. She was in The Sound of Music. She was Cinderella. She was in Camelot on stage. 73 years old.
She was not in Deep Throat.
She was not in Deep Throat. She was in SOB and showed her boobies.
Yes, she did.
Mm-hmm. It was good times.
Yeah.
Randy Quaid turns 58 years old today. Isai Morales from NYPD Blue is 46. And a model actress, Cindy Margolis, celebrates her 43rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Quisha is back. She's going to be taking a look at Paris Hilton's new show, My New Best BFF, or whatever it's called.
Uh-huh.
If there's anything on TV that will make you go blind, it has to be the new Paris Hilton show, right?
Yeah.
Pitbull Comedy. I didn't watch it, but my God, did it look awful from the commercials.
It did.
Oh,
it's terrible.
Not good in any way.
It can't be, right?
No, there's no possible way it could be good. But Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, also coming up in a few minutes. Ralph was doing a story yesterday on his entertainment news about the new Knight Rider GPS.
And by the way, why haven't they had these for 20 years? I mean, what a great idea to take a celebrity, or in this case, you know, William Daniels, the voice of the Kit car from the old Knight Rider series in the 80s. Why not make those be the voice that you hear in your car when you're out there with your GPS looking for directions? It makes so much sense, and they could sell so many of them.
Those of you that have never seen Knight Rider, you're lucky. But here's the voice.
Of a comet, Michael. What exactly are we going to do, Michael?
So they're going to use that guy's voice, the real voice, mm-hmm. and just give you directions. They give you the option of using a celebrity voice, which I think is he's right.
It's a great idea.
How could no one have come up with this?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if that's your show and you're driving around your Trans Am and you've got your big blow-dried hair, I guess it'd be a kind of a charge. You'd have got the little LED lights on the thing. I guess it'd be kind of fun to have him go, well, turn left in half a mile.
Well, that particular one, you'd have to be a little lame to want. Ralph. But there is a company that has now grasped on to that idea, and they have other celebrities that you can use. You can actually pick, you know, English voice. You can use British. I don't know if you've ever...
Oh, for the accent?
Yeah, for the accents.
Cool.
But they also have celebrities.
Okay.
And one of the celebrities that is going to give you directions is Sean Connery.
Really?
How great would that be? Yeah. So we took a test drive in the car with the Sean Connery GPS.
Your freeway exit coming up in 0.5 miles. Freeway exit on the right. Freeway exit now. Now! Oh, you f***ing missed the exit. What the f*** is wrong with you? I bet if there was a at the end of that exit for you to you would have made the turn. Now we're f***ing. All right, just make a U-turn on the freeway.
What?
Do it! Don't you have any f***ing balls, you ho***? This is bullshit. Why don't you get Pierce Brosnan or that other Daniel Craig to tell you where to go? You f***ing piece of shit.
Wow.
All right, that may be too much stress while I'm driving.
Are you kidding?
Sean Connery screaming at me.
Are you kidding? That would be awesome. One of the other celebrity voices, Sylvester Stallone.
Okay.
Yo. I think you should proceed on this road and then make your first left. No, your first left. You drew first left!
What?
I come back here and spit on me! You make first left! Well, sorry about that. I was a little mentally irregular, you know? But I'm feeling better now. So, make a left. You don't make the left? All right, I'll make the left. I'll make the big left.
Yeah, I don't think we want him taking over the controls of the car.
Definitely not. Yeah,
however.
He doesn't sound quite like he's in control.
I would buy one of these in 1 second.
I know you would.
And the original Knight Rider himself, ladies and gentlemen, David Hasselhoff.
Yep. You're all right. You're all right. Make a right. No. Yes. Yes. Left. Make
a left or right?
This is a mess. Get in the left lane. Get in the far left lane.
Okay.
Now make a right.
From the left lane?
No, get on the freeway. Get on the freeway. No, get off the freeway. Yes, this is Coche Fantastico. You have a Coche Fantastico. This is a mess. Oh, you need to get on the freeway. Get in the left lane. Freeway exit coming up. Someplace. This is a mess. Get off the freeway.
Off?
Get off the freeway. Get on. Oh. Average. Oh, boy. Oh. This is a mess. This is a mess. Okay, fantastical.
Don't forget the brand new K-Rock bumper sticker is available at all Southern California Del Taco locations. New for 2008, by the way. Apparently, it's a big deal that it's the first time they've ever used a red, gray, and black logo. That's what we're being told. Like, it's groundbreaking. It's earth-shattering. Mm-hmm. You won't believe it when you see it. Your face will melt. It's so amazing.
And if you have any broken bones, healed.
Really?
It has that power. Yep. You have a broken arm, get that sticker put on your car, better.
K-Rock stickers. Put it on your arm?
Yes.
Oh, interesting. K-Rock Theater is free at all Del Taco locations around Southern California. And every day at the website, krock.com, you can go and find out where our friend Beer Mug is going to be each day with additional prizes like concert tickets from noon till 2 every day at a different Del Taco location. But the important thing is you get the sticker, put it on your car, you mail in the entry form on the back. You are qualified to win. Check this out. A brand new Toyota Matrix 2009 model and something called the K-Rock Golden Ticket, which is you going to every single K-Rock show for all of 2009.
Yeah!
I wasn't kidding when I said earlier in the week, I think it's the best prize K-Rock has ever given away in the time that we've worked here. I can't think of anything better than that.
It's hard to argue.
Yeah, and I have to say that there is no possible way you could go to every K-Rock show. You're going to have to pick and choose. There's just no way.
Yeah, you're right.
There's too many. It would be ridiculous. You'd be out every night going to two shows.
Sometimes there is numerous on one night, so you're going to have to make choices.
That's correct. All right. Yesterday we were talking about plastic surgery, and we were talking about people who want their lips bigger. What was the story? Who was it about?
It was actress Meg Ryan, who's been in the news a little bit lately because she's been given some interviews about the breakup of her marriage with Dennis Quaid, and also because of her big flop hit movie called The Women. And people were saying, "What's going on with Meg? She looks different." And an insider, someone close to the actress, says that she had fat removed from her butt and injected into her lips because there were some who were saying it was Botox. And she said, this person said, it's not Botox at all. It's just ass fat.
It's ass fat.
Well, first of all, you don't put Botox in your lips.
Collagen, right?
Yeah, collagen is what you put in
Botox
there.
Is for
wrinkles. For wrinkles, yeah, around wrinkles. Your eyes and forehead.
So
just to clarify.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean that's what it says in the article, in this AP article. It says that rumors Botox? Of Botox, but it's not the case. Yeah.
All right.
So we heard that story, and most of us have by now at this point heard of that plastic surgery procedure where they take ass fat and they put it someplace else because you don't need it in your butt. You maybe need it someplace else. And we thought, well, that's interesting. However, for some reason, Kevin
eats paste. That's what.
I just find this funny. Nobody else finds this funny that you take fat out of your ass and put it in your lips.
It's not new.
How badly do you need bigger lips? I mean, honestly. At some point, don't you just go, my lips are going to be okay the way they are?
Well, I agree.
It's one of many methods to get plumper.
Yeah, I don't think most people need to have their lips operated on at all, but it makes sense if you're going to do it. Why not have something from your own body put in so that you don't face any kind of danger from an outside material? And why not take it from someplace where you've got fat to spare? I mean, it sounds logical to me.
Doesn't the fat in your ass know that it's ass fat?
You seem particularly hung up on the fat.
And if so, don't your lips turn into an ass?
Yes.
Isn't that the way it works?
They do get dimpled.
Can you go poopy out of your face now?
Is that what Kevin was saying yesterday?
Yes. I bet you can fart with your throat.
I was not. I was not retarded. I was just fascinated by how badly people want to put ass.
No, you were particularly hung up on the fact that it was from your ass.
I was, of course.
As if now you were a butt face.
Right.
You can literally call her butt face. Your butt face misses.
It was one of those deals where I couldn't understand why everybody else wasn't on the same page with me. Everybody else was mocking me, and I was like, that's funny to me.
I think the reason is, Kevin, because it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the fat is coming from your ass. I mean, it's just fat.
It does
as
to
if
me.
But I'm saying the fat is the ass is not involved in this procedure at all. They're not transplanting an ass. They're not moving an ass onto the front of your body.
Have you had
they're
it done? Just, do you know?
No, but I do know.
Are
yes.
you a doctor?
I'm not a doctor, but I'm familiar enough
Kevin
with this.
Is.
I am a doctor.
Do your breath you smell like butt now?
Would you be as fascinated if they were taking the fat from the thigh?
Not at all.
Because it's the same fat. It just happens to be from that part of the body. So what?
Dude. You're putting your ass in your lips.
But you're not.
But you are is the thing. That's what you're missing is that you are.
It doesn't have anything to do with your ass.
You're putting ass in your lips.
No.
You'll grow butthole on your forehead.
See? That's a danger.
You're taking fat from below the skin of that part of your body and putting it into another part of your body. It doesn't have anything to do with your ass. Your ass is exactly the same. It stays where it is. It does what it does.
How does it not have anything to do with your ass?
Because it doesn't. Because there's nothing in that fat that is
ass-like. Oh, Bean, you're just – you don't get it.
Thanks for nothing, ass face.
See?
Oh, then you get to be called ass face.
Ass face, see?
Now you're always kissing your own ass. Oh.
Come on, I wasn't being retarded. I wasn't a retarded guy.
Do we need to find someone who's had the procedure so that Kevin can ask all the questions about how they now burp farts? Do we need to have that person on the air?
Do you really need big lips enough that you're going to put your ass in it? That's what I'm saying. How small are your lips, and how badly do they need to be bigger?
But it's the same as if you had...
If you got collagen injected.
Yeah, exactly.
Does collagen come from your ass?
No.
All right.
That's not the point.
You understand they extract fat from inside the ass, Kevin. Yes. They don't actually take a chunk of your butt and then just throw it on your face.
I do understand that, of course, yes.
He's like a five-year-old that just found this out. That's exactly what you are. I'm just saying.
I know you're just saying.
But still.
All right, we need to talk to people who've done this.
Okay.
You wanted bigger lips. So you got fat from your ass put there. Or weren't you guys saying yesterday that they do, even for like cracks in your face and stuff, wrinkles?
Yeah, they'll fill out areas that need filling out in your face with ass fat, too. It's like a lot of people get liposuction and then they take some of that fat and you get it in your butt and put it other places.
I think I heard the other day, Lisa, tell me if this sounds crazy to you because you know more about the plastic surgery than I do, that somebody had had a lymph node removed from her neck and they filled in what would have been a hole in her neck with ass fat. Is that possible? It makes sense, sure.
Yeah. The only thing with ass fat is it's not permanent. You know that, Mike. Over time, it will absorb back into the body.
You know why? Because it's not. It knows it's not lip fat.
It's funny because it's permanent in your ass.
That's correct. You can never get rid of it. But you put it in your lips and it says, hey, I don't belong here.
Yeah, it starts to migrate south.
I'm ass fat. I'm going back down.
Call K-Rock if you're a butt face.
We know it's from the ass. We know it.
That's not what I was laughing at.
Yes, it is.
Not this time. This time, Lisa was diving across the room trying to catch those little gnats that are here in the studio.
Gnats. Every day there are gnats.
They have to come through like six doors to get into the studio, and somehow they're in here all
the time. Can you do butt hiccups now?
Come on.
What a surprise that Kevin wanted people to call so that he could make fun of them for having ass fat put in their lips.
Yeah, no one did.
And then they didn't call.
How about that? What a surprise. You know why? They don't want to admit to it because they've got an ass on their face.
They don't have an ass.
They do.
That's the way it is. Then I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
7:38 on the
Kevin. And their mouth is a little brown ring. That's what I'm saying.
It's not how it works. 7:38 on the Kevin and Bean Show. The pitbull of comedy, our friend Bobby Slayton in the 8 o'clock hour. First, though, we got some email for you.
Yeah, remember the King of Mexico interview with Baron Davis that we played yesterday?
Of course.
That super high energy.
Dave here with Baron Davis.
Ready?
This is from Chris. Great player. Seems like a good guy. Good sense of humor. Too bad he's stuck on the B team. Yeah. Thank you for that call. That is correct. That's great to come to Los Angeles. And then play on the Clippers.
I know.
Really. You know, every sport has great players who will never win a championship because they're just on the wrong team. And you're right. It's a tough place to be. Here's a great idea for a call-in topic we may have to do on the Kevin and Bean Show. You remember last week we were talking to our new general manager here at K-Rock named Troy Coughlin.
Yes.
Unfortunately named Troy Coughlin. The guy's just a tool. And he's one of these guys who just is a cliche machine and everything's a lesson. And he's a motivational speaker slash used car salesman.
But confusing motivational speakers slash used car salesman. True. So he talks around in circles and we have no... Finally, it's torturous. You just go, look, I don't know what we're talking about, but if I say okay, can I leave?
That's exactly what it is. If you're supposed to walk out of a meeting with Mr. Coughlin and be motivated and energized about your job, that's not what happens. You walk out with a headache and confused.
That's correct.
Well, Greg writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, first of all, I really enjoyed your interview with Troy Coughlin, the new general manager of K-Rock. Many of us have suffered under managers like that, and now that K-Rock has one as well, it sounds like the old show, John from Cincinnati, the end is near.
Yeah.
Come to think of it, John from Cincinnati would make a better manager than this glad-handling idiot. This seems like a great idea for a call-in topic on your show, dumb things that companies do to build motivation. For example, my company religiously makes us follow a motivational program that is called Gung Ho. The whole thing is based on a management book of the same name and involves a fictitious story about an offensively stereotypical Native American who helps a factory manager increase productivity by applying the characteristics of furry forest animals in the workplace.
No! What?
I kid you not, you can find the book on Amazon.com. The chapters have titles like The Spirit of the Squirrel and The Gift of the Goose. Please realize, I'm a 40-year-old man. I have to be forced to read this tripe and then get tested on it instead of, working. Anyway, great show. Thanks for reading my rant on the air or not. Loyal listener Greg.
Great idea, by the way.
It is, because there are so many businesses that do try to do some of that motivational stuff. And I understand that there's some programs out there like the 1 Minute Manager, things like that, that have really helped people with productivity. But a lot of this stuff is just blah, 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 blah.
The end is near.
Hey, Kevin, I was just listening to the mom whose son is getting a tattoo right now, and I had to laugh. This is K-Rock listener Rob, who came in and had a tattoo of Megan Fox put on his calf.
Yeah.
And we talked to his mom, and she was not happy. And Jen goes on, I'm the daughter of a Pentecostal minister, and I have 14 tattoos. So you can imagine how thrilled my dad is. Tattoo prejudice, especially against women who have tattoos, is incredible. I've been followed by store detectives and have gotten more dirty looks from people after they see my tattoos than I care to remember. The point is, good for this guy for getting that tattoo. And it's of Megan Fox, and she's hot, so that's even better. Better her than B. Arthur, right? And he can donate blood in 1 year, if he's wondering. Have a great day, Jen.
All right.
The world would be a better place with more Megan Fox tattoos. I agree. Here's an interesting follow-up to our conversation. I think we've all pretty much established white pants. I think we all understand the parameters of what white pants and what that means, right?
Backdoor! Backdoor! Backdoor!
Yep.
Lately, we've been asking if the thumb ring means the same thing, because we're starting to see more and more thumb rings in situations that lead us to believe that that also means rear entry. Dear Bean, writes Fernando, I am a gay man, and I'm writing to let you know that it is widely known in the gay community that the thumb ring means you're part of the family, if you will. Sincerely, Fernando.
Really?
So there you go. Confirmation from West Hollywood.
Wow. All right. And this one comes from a listener named Omar. Listen up, Kevin and Bean. You guys were reading emails this morning, and you read an email about someone who went to Cancun and noticed that everyone in Mexico was wearing white pants. I just want you to know that white pants do not mean the same thing in Mexico. It's just bad taste in Mexico. Thumb rings are the symbol for fudge packing in Mexico.
How about that?
I have 8 cousins in Mexico, and they all confirm that white pants are just bad taste, but thumb ring is a clear sign of the back door.
Huh.
How about that?
It is possible.
Is it now science?
It's getting very close to science. Very close. It is possible that it is different from country to country, like so many other customs and
things
are.
Maybe it's making its way across the border now.
That's also possible. And finally, here's Melanie's email. I know you guys are all obsessed with Megan Fox, and of course it is Foxtober, but I had to share this article that I just read on CNN.com, and I hesitate to even read this after seeing Kevin's reaction to the ass face a minute ago. Louis Deschamps, a licensed medical esthetician. Is that how you pronounce it, Lisa?
Esthetician?
Esthetician, yeah, which is a skincare doctor, yeah, who works in Beverly Hills, California, says she performs 20 to 25 placenta facials a week.
What?
Some combined with LED therapy as an added anti-aging treatment, and counts among her clients such red carpet regulars as Denise Richards and Megan Fox. It's not
what?
Cheap. Placenta facials run $350 to $500 depending on the products used. Gross. Sincerely, Melanie.
That is gross.
What? Are you kidding me?
You know, this is my Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons from Kiss.
I come up with my own form of facial if you'd like to stand still real quick.
All right. Thank you. I don't think we need that, but thank you.
There is a new way to get a face.
Hey, we're not interested.
Okay, I don't know what's happening here, but the all of the machinery went dead. Yes. This is perfect.
All right, well done.
Hey, let me turn Lisa back up.
Okay,
right,
here I am.
Let's take some calls about putting the music.
What, we have? We can't play songs or commercials or anything,
That's
huh?
correct. We have nothing.
That's fantastic.
We are out. Hang on. We're queuing up a song, and then we'll try and figure out what happened here. But while we were talking about the ass face, everything went down. What does that tell you?
Yeah.
Now time for the Ralph Showbizby. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, I can go now?
Yeah.
Now I can go?
Yeah, sure.
Done with everything?
I think so.
Oh, everybody's had their say?
I think it's good now.
I'm good.
Kim Kardashian. People are putting asses in their lips, Ralph. You're aware of that? They're injecting their lips with ass?
That. They're not. Just fat cells. Fat cells. Same fat cells everywhere, all over the body, same. Fat
I
cells
like
the same.
Big lips and I cannot lie.
Fat cells all over the body, same. Yeah. Same. Fats the same.
All right. Ass. Thank you.
If we extracted some of the fat from your head and put it in people's lips, I think we'd all be a lot better off. Kim Kardashian, speaking of asses, tragically got voted off Dancing with the Stars last night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyone else sad?
Yes. She's hot is
so
all I
hot.
Can think of.
So hot.
Well, we were waiting for
never
the
better.
Wardrobe malfunction.
Yeah.
And they do have those on that show occasionally.
I know. Now we'll never see. Now Cloris Leachman's old saggy boob's going to come out.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Old orange in a sweat sock will come flopping out of the side of her dress.
No.
Last thing we need. Kim took it in good spirit, though. She said she realized she hadn't scored well, but she really did want to continue on the show so she could, and I quote, wear some more cool costumes. Yeah.
That's what that show's about.
Maybe she just walked the red carpet so much. I try to dance a lot. Speaking of which, Dancing with the Stars, number one show in America. Again, no surprise. The Nielsen ratings just came out for last week's top 10 shows.
Why are you bad, America?
Dancing with the Stars is number one, followed by Grey's Anatomy. Bean and his people are watching that. Desperate Housewives. Dancing with the Stars, number four as well. NCIS Miami is five.
I don't think that's what you're calling
in Miami.
Every time that show is up there.
NBC Sunday Night Football. Yeah, who's watching Mark Harmon in the NCIS crowd?
Just my dad.
Just
you
Bean's
know
dad. Crack open Navy murders or whatever the hell they do.
I don't know. I've never seen one episode.
CBS has so many of those crime and legal shows that I don't know a person who watches, but they're phenomenally successful.
Yeah.
I'm out on every one of those shows. I don't watch any of those shows till you get to NBC.
NBC yeah. Sunday Night Football, number six.
All right, there we go.
Then CSI Miami.
No.
Back to procedural crime dramas, number seven. Criminal Minds, number eight. Dancing with the Stars yet again in the top ten. And number nine, The Mentalist.
Number ten.
Yes.
Okay. I just like to remind you, as I do at the beginning of every television season, that the Kevin and Bean Show had on the producer of Dancing with the Stars ahead of its debut on U.S. television. And we did everything but bet the guy money that the show was going to fail, right?
We told him it was a horrible idea. It's embarrassing.
No one would watch it.
Why would you
do
this?
That crap may fly overseas, pal, but not here in the U.S. of A.
Yep, we were pretty convinced that this show was going to fail, and it's been number one every single season that it's been on.
Three in the top ten.
But we were right with Skating with Celebrities. We were right
yes,
with that
we
one.
Were.
That one
we
did
called
blow,
that one. The Partridge Family is coming back to television.
Hey, great.
NBC has picked up The Partridge Family for a reboot. And we'll get to see the wholesome Partridges singing on their bus again.
No. Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. They tried to do this over at VH1. They had Looking for the New Partridge Family, whatever.
That's right.
And they had a reality show where people would come in and audition to be the new Danny, Laurie, and Keith.
Are they counting on anyone remembering that show?
I can't imagine they are. Apparently, NBC says it's going to be a fresh take on the Partridge Family.
No way!
This from the writer. In the original, the kids actually recruited their mom to be in the band, which I can't see happening at any family on this planet. The new version will reflect what seems to me to be the more realistic family band scenario, a struggling, sort of well-meaning mom pimping her kids in order to create a wholesome slash sexy cash cow.
No.
That's very different, isn't it?
So mom will be like a Dina Lohan type who decides just to whore out her talented kids and try to make a buck off them.
No.
That sounds fun. That sounds charming. No. That sounds like a family I want to spend every week with.
Yeah.
I do fear that somehow Danny Bonaducci will be allowed to be a part of the show and end up back on my television.
He will not be denied, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll be the new Reuben Kincaid.
Oh, my God.
All right, kids, let's get on the bus.
It's a terrible idea.
And Ed McMahon's got a job. I'm glad to hear that.
Yay!
Oh, thank goodness. Good. He's employed.
You know those commercials for freecreditreport.com? I should have seen this coming at me like an atom bomb.
Sure.
You know those,
yes.
Those annoying commercials?
Sure.
Well, Ed McMahon is taking over for freecreditreport.com.
Is he going to sing?
No. Better. He's going to rap.
Oh! No, he's not.
He sure is.
Shouldn't he have gotten a free credit report before he got into the trouble he did?
I think that's the whole point of the commercial, Bean.
He's not going to rap, though.
That Ed raps that if he had used freecreditreport.com, maybe he wouldn't be in the financial situation he's in right now.
Okay.
But you said he's going to rap.
He'll be rapping. Here's a photo of Ed right here in a tracksuit with a lot of bling with two shorties on either side of him.
No way.
Yeah. Apparently, the videos will be released first as viral videos on sites like YouTube. And you'll see McMahon cruising through the streets in a golf cart looking for winners of the Publishers Clearinghouse sweepstakes to ask for some of the money back. Oh. And then he will break into an awkward rap about how he should have used freecreditreport.com. Yo.
Wow.
Poor Ed. He's praying for sweet death at this point, isn't he?
I don't think he can afford to die right now.
You saw him on the Emmys. Didn't you get the sense he was part of that Josh Groban tribute to television themes? Didn't you get the sense that it let Ed come out there for his one-word appearance so he could get health insurance with the union or something this year?
Hey,
it was just sad.
I hope that's the case. I think we should all do whatever we can to help the dude.
This guy was on TV with Late Night Tonight Show with Johnny Carson for 30 years?
Yes.
35 years?
And then he had the Dick Clark Bloopers and Practical Jokes show, and he's hosted a Star Search,
the
original sort of American Idol. He was the host of that. The guy's been a staple on television for 40 years.
A legend.
And now he doesn't have two nickels to rub together.
And decorated World War II fighter pilot, too, by the way. Had something like 85 missions over Europe, for God's sakes. I mean, the guy's straight up.
He's got some four-year-old broad sucking him dry now.
Oh.
I mean, financially.
Oh, okay.
Bleeding him dry.
That's not what you said.
Hey,
what's
Kevin?
Wrong with you?
Mike was talking to me.
Let's get it.
Don't do that when Mike's talking to me.
I thought maybe the word, the word would snap me out of it.
I got it. Didn't make it to the air.
Thought maybe.
I got it.
That particular word would snap you out of your reverie with your boyfriend over there.
You saw him talking to
he
me.
He heard me, apparently.
I did, too.
About an hour and a half later.
No problem.
If I had sent you a telegram with that word in it, you would have heard it quicker.
Ralph looks over at Kevin, and Kevin is dreamily thinking about injecting fat from your ass and your lips, and he's just not even listening to the show anymore.
Dude, I got it. I got it. Don't worry about that.
Yeah.
I'm in prime shape.
Yes! You are in prime shape.
Everything's good.
Like the prime loans. Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Cindy Margolis.
Oh.
Ooh.
43 years old today. Yeah. Yeah, I'm all about that. Isai Morales from NYPD Blue turns 46 for Andy Quaid. Very funny comic actors. 58. And Julie Andrews, legendary star of Mary Poppins and Sound of Music.
Two girls went.
No, wait a minute. She wasn't in that. She's 73 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Before we talk to LaQuisha, and God bless her that she's back, and I've missed her, and I love her, and I can't wait to get her on the phone, but why does Paris Hilton need another TV show? How are we not
over her? Because
someone will
give it to her. Somebody will give it to her.
But who's going to watch it?
I don't, that
people
I don't know.
People do.
Want to hear a little bit of the theme song before we go to LaQuisha?
Yeah, it's a new Paris Hilton song, right?
Yes, a new Paris Hilton song, My BFF, apparently is the name of the show. Here's a little bit of the song, apparently world premiered this week on the Ryan Seacrest radio show. And I bet, I haven't even heard it, but I guarantee he loved it.
Of course.
All of my life I've been waiting for someone to trust, someone who cares, someone I know that will always be.
Every song on that station seems to have a drum machine on full-time salary.
Well, it's not embarrassingly bad. It's just so generic, like every other generic.
Yeah, it sounds like a thousand other songs. But apparently, if we were to pay attention to the lyrics, it's all about how she's looking for a BFF. And that's the goal of the show. And that's why we have LaQuisha on, who watched it last night so that we didn't have to. Hey, girlfriend.
Kevin and B.
How you been?
How you doing?
I've been better.
Oh, no. I'm sorry that this is the one that we made you do.
I was better about an hour before the end of this show.
Oh, man.
When I was watching it. MTV, I'm convinced now, is run by Satan. That's the only answer for Tila Tequila and all those shows, The Hills, and now this show.
Yeah.
Because this woman is a horrible, horrible woman.
She is, and she's so dumb, right, LaQuisha?
I don't even know if she's dumb. I think she's more evil than dumb.
Really?
Don't get me wrong. She's plenty dumb, but I think there's something else going on there. Something with devil worship or something. She is evil.
So the deal is exactly what it says in the show, is that she's looking for a new best friend. Basically, she's auditioning somebody to hang out with her, right?
Right, because she's had a lot of friends like Nicole Richie and Kim Kardashian and whatnot, and they don't want anything to do with her no more. So she got to find a new best friend, and she gets 18 people, 16 girls and two gay guys, and she's going to put them through the ringer and see who becomes her best friend.
And when this competition is over, I will have found my new BFF. My world, my rules. Game on, bitches.
I'm already angry at her, and the show just started.
Yeah.
Game on, bitches.
Game on, bitches.
You come to my neighborhood and say that, little white bitch, you will be cut. So the first challenge that these poor people have to go through is that she makes them go to Ledoux, the nightclub in Hollywood.
Okay.
It's like Survivor.
Yeah, it is.
I don't know
it?
How they're going to make it.
I've asked my 18 contenders to play dress up and ship them off to one of LA's hottest nightclubs, Ledoux. I told them it was just for fun, but if you want to be my BFF, nothing is just for fun.
That's the most truthful thing she's ever said.
Wow.
I get a sense if you're her friend, nothing is ever fun.
Yeah,
ever
does.
Again.
She's looking for an assistant, isn't she?
She's looking for somebody to treat like crap.
Yeah.
And she's picked the perfect people. I want to introduce you to some of these girls and one of the gay guys that she picked, okay? And I don't know who to choose for her BFF because they all have so much in common with her. like Lauren, for instance.
Like, I feel like this is a dream come true because I've always wanted people to know about me and who I am. And I'm hoping we get to lay out by the pool a lot.
See, she wants to be famous for doing nothing. Just like Paris.
Well, that would be perfect, wouldn't it?
A perfect match. And I think intellectually, Sinsu, this girl, she's the perfect match.
I don't think I've actually really absorbed. It's crazy. It's crazy. What was the question again?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's perfect.
Yeah, she is.
She's hired.
LaQuisha, did they do these interviews at a discotheque? What the hell is going on with the big beat going on
now
behind
that,
every single contestant?
That music is played throughout the entire show.
Oh, good.
Wow.
It is constant. Thumping, bass, drum machine thing is constantly on this show. I had to take some E just to watch the show because I felt like that's what I should be doing with that music in the background.
But then didn't you love all of the contestants?
No.
Oh, all right.
Even E don't help love these girls. This is Ansh. Ansh is a way gay guy who is way gay.
Right.
I think that I have the advantage of being Paris' best friend is because I'm the best of both worlds. I'm like an amazing girlfriend and I'm an amazing boyfriend too. And so, hey, why not have it both in one?
That's not going to get old.
Nope.
That attitude is never going to get old.
That was a dude, huh?
That was a boy named Ansh.
Yeah.
And here's Natasha, another equal to Paris in the world of intellect.
Being Paris's friend would definitely mean instant celebrityism.
It would.
Yes, it would.
Instant celebrityism.
That's true.
She would get that. Then, of course, you got to have one of these in every show.
I've been hated on for a long time, I guess, because I'm pretty and nice. So other people that wish that they had those qualities get jealous, and they only hate me because they wish they were me.
Yes.
You gotta have pretty nice people.
They hate me because I'm beautiful, girl.
There's always one.
That was Kiki. And then lastly, I want you to meet Corey.
I'm already famous in my head. The world hasn't seen it yet. I could totally be Paris Hip Buddy. That'd be really cool. Everyone else can suck it.
She's well, charming.
She is very charming.
Delightful.
Oh, I want to spend time with all these girls. In the first 5 minutes, Paris looks at these girls at Ledoux at a nightclub and sends four of them immediately to the airport to just go home. That's how much time she takes.
Four of them
well, leave immediately.
They're not dancing right or what?
I have no idea what they did wrong, but they were put on a plane home
right
away. And one of them, apparently Ansh, the gay guy, took a liking to. I don't know how, because they met 5 minutes ago.
My girl went home.
Your girl?
Lily Ellen went home.
Who's that?
The girl that we saw in the car tonight.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God. I'm so sad because I love her so much.
Love's a strong word.
I like her so much.
What?
That's the best.
You know that girl we saw in the car.
What?
Just one time. I love her.
Let's fire Paris Hilton off the show and give the show to him. That guy I'll watch.
Shut your mouth. Shut up, Bean. Because you know MTV going to give this guy his own show.
Of course.
Yeah, probably.
Well, the next challenge these kids have after their industrial strength makeover is Paris Hilton makes them walk down a red carpet at a party for In Touch magazine. How can they put these young people through these grueling tasks?
Must be hell.
People tell me it looks easy, but the truth is, it's not. Working it is a skill that takes time and effort to perfect.
Hope she got raped in prison.
Oh, stop it.
You don't mean that, LaQuisha.
Stop it.
She got intimate with a plunger.
No, you don't.
No,
you don't.
No.
Nope.
Sexual assault is never funny. That's what we learned in the meeting.
It takes a lot of work to walk the red. Shut up!
Yeah, she did have to learn that through a lot of time and effort.
So they all walked down the red carpet, and at the party for In Touch magazine, one of the girls, Vanessa, pulls her aside and tells her that Kiki isn't happy with the hairdo that she got in her makeover. Can you believe that? And Paris is very happy that Vanessa told her that.
I wonder if Vanessa's really that loyal, or just a snitch. Either way, she's proved herself useful, so Puppy gets a treat. Come here, girl.
What?
Puppy gets a treat.
Gets a treat.
So she gives her a little something for telling her that information, and she calls her a puppy.
Did she say Puppy gets a treat?
And then says, come here, girl. How do you feel about the rape now? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Uh-huh. Well, it comes time for elimination, and she picks Michelle and Kiki, who didn't like her hairdo, to be put up for elimination. She breaks the news to them. And then I get the sense that she looks off the cue cards and starts talking off the top of her head. Mm. Note to producers, don't let Paris Hilton ad-lib.
Uh-oh.
You guys are up for elimination tonight. And it's a rainy day in L.A. today, which is pretty rare, so one of you might have bad luck.
What?
Mm-hmm. What does that mean?
What the hell does that mean?
It's a rainy day, which is rare, so one of you might have bad luck. You guys don't understand that?
That's Kevin's people talking right there.
Yes.
You know the old saying, rain in L.A., bad luck for you.
Today.
Today. Well, Michelle ends up getting booted off, and my heart was broken because I fell in love with her when I saw her in that car that
sure,
one time.
That one time?
And now she has to go, and here now we'll get to hear for the first time the patented catchphrase that sends the people off this new show.
Uh-oh.
I'm really sorry, Michelle, but our friendship is finished. T-T-Y-N.
T-T-Y-N.
Yeah.
Talk to you never.
Talk to you never.
Talk to you never.
LOL. You know? Who's with me? Lucretia, you don't sound like you had a good time.
Afterwards, Paris says goodbye to everyone.
I have to get back to my life now, so hopefully one day one of you will be a part of it. Bye.
This is your life.
I have to get back to my
Doing nothing on television is your life.
What about these people whose goal it is they aspire to be in Paris Hilton's life? What about those people? My God.
That's the problem with you today. All they want is instant celebrityism.
Yep, that's true. That is true. Well, we'll talk to you next week, Lucretia.
If I survive.
Looking forward. Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of comedy.
Wow.
How are you, man?
Great, Kevin and Bean and Ellie Mae.
Hi, Bobby.
Hey, you know, since Lightning died, you know, this place, not as many, it smells more like potpourri. It's much gayer in here, and there's not as many bugs flying around. And things have changed a lot. Hey, by the way, so, you know, I wake up to you guys this morning, and I'm listening to, I know you're very upset, Kev, that nobody called out because of the, you know, the ass lip injection thing.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
What's interesting, though, you know, it's always something. My wife didn't want to do that, but at one time, I think, you know, she was watching Meg Ryan, and she saw, oh, you still think she's cute? And I go, well, I didn't even notice she changed. My wife goes, well, she's done something to her lips. And I said, well, I like her. I've always liked Angelina Jolie. I like, you know, Pamela Anderson. So my wife says, well, I'm thinking about doing that. So you think about doing what? Not with the butt stuff, but with the, what is it, collagen or whatever?
Collagen, yeah.
She thought about getting bigger lips, and I said, you know, you don't do me the way it is. Now I have to rub it in my face by having giant lips. Do you have to broadcast it any bigger and cleaner and plainer? It just pain. But anyway, my marriage is going great. I think the last time I saw you guys might have been when, was it when you came to Vegas? You came to my show?
I think so.
Might have been, yeah.
I think so, yeah. But your marriage is doing better because you're not living here anymore.
I'm there. I'm home here 2 days a week in L.A., and it's great.
Oh,
you know,
that's the best.
I come home. I hardly ever see my daughter because she's off with her boyfriend. I come home. I see my dog. My wife, I see as much as I have to see her. And it's, you know, if you guys can figure out a way to live in Vegas at Hooters Casino where I'm performing every week, if you can find a way to live at Hooters and just
die.
See your wife 2 days out of the week, but marriage doesn't work that way, does it, L.A., mate? No, it doesn't.
I don't know. I'm divorced.
But it works for you, Bobby. It's perfect for you because you guys would not still be married if you were still living at home. I'm sorry. The move to Vegas saved your marriage, Bobby.
Something saved. I don't know what it is, but I'll tell you what's really interesting is that, you know, since I saw you guys last, you know, so many comedians and celebrities have stopped by my show, but nobody seems to be that impressed as when porno stars. We had a couple of porno stars in the last couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. One of them, I don't even know her name. Another one was Sunset Thomas. But, you know, people, you know, the staff that works there, I guess they're so used to seeing. I think, you know, Adam Sandler stopped by and Robin Williams stopped by and Roseanne stopped by. And everybody, wow, yes, who's here tonight? And, you know, some baseball players stopped by. But when the porno stars come in, everybody just beside themselves.
That's when everybody goes crazy?
Yeah.
They've seen him naked doing stuff.
Yeah, true.
That's kind of cool.
Is that it?
Yes.
So when people see it, I mean, I'm impressed, too. I mean, I like it, but I'm still impressed when stars stop by the show.
Sure.
I like when another comedian stops by.
But you're the performer.
Yeah, but when a porno star...
see you.
Yeah, but when a porno star stops by, I still think it's pretty cool, but it just, you know, everybody just goes crazy. You know who she is? When I didn't even know she was... And I watch a lot of porn, and I don't know who half these people are. You know, they know their names.
You don't
watch
enough porn.
They know all their movies, all the scenes.
Exactly.
Sure.
Exactly.
Hey, Bobby, I have a question for you about the Hooters. And by the way, Bobby Slayton...
The Hooters. What are you talking about? The Hooters. Hooters.
Yeah, Hooters Las Vegas Night Owl showroom is where Bobby Slayton appears Wednesday through Sunday at 9 in Las Vegas, and it's a terrific show. Not that I know because I didn't go. But here's a question.
Everybody else came but you. That
yeah,
day.
I know. And they all told me it was a great show. So I feel with confidence I can say it's a great show.
I think. But you probably had a coupon and you took your father to the Sizzler or something that night.
I think that's exactly what happened. But here's my question about how this works in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
The comedian on stage, the performer on stage, always makes the celebrity guests in the room stand up.
I don't. How did? Yeah.
Oh, you don't. So no. When Adam Sandler is there, you don't say to the audience, "Hey, we got a special guest here tonight. Give a big hand for Adam Sandler." You don't do that?
No, you know what? I did it for John Lovitz because he seems like he needs the love. I don't think that. And by the way, you know, it's so funny. I just got on this MySpace thing. I had like 30 friends for 3 years. And I didn't, because I never went on this MySpace, you know, on the MySpace. But
right.
It really, all these performers say to me, but you know, then I have to talk to people and you got to make friends. And it just doesn't seem like the kind of thing I ever want to do, you know?
So you can use it as much or as little as you want. Some people use a MySpace just as a web page to say, here's where my show is.
Right.
This is where I'm appearing. And other people like Dane Cook have managed to turn it into a fan base of a million people, you know?
Yeah, which, by the way, and Dane said to me, you got to really do this. And I said, well, you know, you should send me some friends. And I never heard back from him, but Lovitz sent me, he put like a little thing on his blog or something. So like thousands of people, all of a sudden, I said, you know what, God, if Lovitz, if I can get somebody really, really famous to do this. And,
no kidding.
You know, it would be amazing. But this is the gayest thing I've ever done. Speaking of Dane Cook, it'll be on my MySpace page or my website. I shouldn't put this up there, but it will be up there this week. I have to do this. I have to. You know, they call me the pit bull of comedy.
Right.
And which can't, I don't know. It's kind of silly, but I guess I kind of attack people. And that's what I do. That's my thing. But I had Dane Cook. He came over to my house 2 weeks ago with his miniature picture. We both have miniature pictures. So they could have a play date. So,
is that a euphemism,
wow.
Bobby? Hey. Or are you really talking about dogs here?
Wow.
Yeah, the dogs, yeah.
He brought his little dog over so he could have a play date with your dog?
Yeah, and I had white pants and he had a thumb ring.
Wow.
Here's the thing. We didn't have those. But I'm putting a picture up. And my wife says, you sure you want to put a picture up with you two holding your miniature pictures?
Yes, you do.
Because this is gayer than a white tiger.
This yes,
is
it is.
Than white pants and a thumb ring.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, the pit bull. I mean, you can see Dane
you
Cook.
You need to see that right away.
You can see why Dane would have a min pin, but me, you know.
Yeah, he's so tough.
And he sleeps in my lap every night. It really is getting good.
Who, Dane Cook does?
Well, him and my dog.
All right.
Bobby, are you friends with Dane Cook?
You know,
he's Bean's favorite. That's why he's asking. Bean loves Dane Cook. Loves, loves, loves.
Or can't understand how I wouldn't hire him to detail my automobile. He's so talentless. How on earth is this guy a stand-up star, a movie star? I mean, he's enormously popular. How? Why? Based on?
He's a friend of mine. You know, I don't you know. Why's Clay?
He's funny.
Do you find him funny?
When he came to my house, he was very funny. Yeah, you know, here's another guy. Okay, you take Lovitz, for example. There's a guy that people say, God, that guy doesn't really do stand-up comedy, but there's a guy that just oozes funny. He's just funny. When Lovitz walks into a room, he's like me. We're just funny.
He's 1,000 times funnier than Dane Cook. That's why I don't understand how Dane Cook is the guy in all the movies and all the shows. He baffles me. You're a comedy expert. I thought you might have some explanation as to what he's reaching in people that he's missing in me.
There are things that baffle me more. Paris Hilton baffles me more.
Sure.
You know, Sarah Palin baffles me more. Sarah Palin, and I don't want to, you know, see, here's the thing, too. I don't really want to get it. You know, I started doing this at night on stage. You know, I was making some Sarah Palin jokes, and people started booing because I voted for John McCain. And, of course, any normal person and any rational person outside of Kevin would, of course, vote for Barack Obama. But the thing is, and I don't really care. You know, it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. You're not going to make everybody happy.
Right.
But I found out when you go on stage, if you're not Dennis Miller and if you're not John Stewart, you're not Lewis Black, and people go to your show, Bill Maher, they know his left-wing feelings. They know that how he feels.
Right.
But people come to my show, a lot of people don't know who I am. They expect he's a pit bull of comedy, and I can't get up there and start, you know, going on and on about politics.
The political chunk doesn't work?
Well, you can't. Well, it does.
Because they're not expecting it.
They're not expecting it, but it gets a lot of laughs. But then half the people, if I say I'm voting for Barack Obama, it doesn't matter how great the McCain jokes are, people are going to boo.
Right.
You know, Leno goes back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, so you don't know really who he's voting for.
Right.
But it's like the other night, okay, when they tore down Yankee Stadium, when they haven't done it yet, but okay, I'm a tremendous Yankee fan. I grew up with the Yankees.
Right.
Okay, but the night that the Yankee Stadium closed, it meant a lot to me. Whether you're a Yankee fan or not, people started booing. I wasn't even talking about being a Yankee fan. I said, you know, the tearing down Yankee Stadium, it means a lot to me. Hey, Red Sox! You can't talk about sports. I said, I'm not, whether you're a Red Sox fan, or it doesn't matter.
It's
what
just
kind of,
history.
It's like the Statue of Liberty. As a matter of fact, Yankee Stadium, and again, you don't have to be a Yankee
Boo!
Fan. Thank you. That was Bean, by the way. Yeah. You know, I grew up, I saw Mickey Mantle play. I mean, you know, we all know the story, the house that Ruth built, and Joe DiMaggio, Lou Gehrig. So I'm watching the game, and, you know, I have a little tear in my eye. I'm drinking a beer. I got to go on stage. So my wife calls me up and says, "Were you still upset about the Yankees?" I said, "Yeah, well, you know, I grew up watching the Yankees. I used to go to opening day every year with my father."
Well, they're not folding.
Well, the stadium's gone, as far as I am. Yeah, there. It is folding.
Okay.
So my wife goes, "You know, you haven't seen the Yankee game in 5 years. If you loved him so much, you'd go to see him." I said, "You haven't done me in 10 years. If you've loved me so much..." Matter of fact, the Yankees have blown more games in the last... You finished the joke.
Yeah, we got it.
You know what that joke... Just give me the rim shot. You finish it.
Bobby Slayton is here, and we will continue in a...
The Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, is here with us. He, of course, has got a permanent gig at Hooters in Las Vegas, the Night Owl Showroom, Wednesdays through Sundays.
Yes, and a lot of people from Southern California come to my shows. So that's why it's always fun to do your show. You know, it's interesting. So I'm home 2 days out of the week. And my wife, God bless her, you know, she's an old psychotic broad.
Before you move on, let me just butt in there. You're home 2 days a week.
Yeah.
Okay. How many times have you just called her from Vegas and said, you know, I'm just going to stay here this week?
2 days. Know, the only reason I don't do it is I come home to see my dog. I can't do it to the dog. You know, once in a while.
Why don't you have the dog?
You're so
there?
Sensitive.
I can't do it because the dog has a backyard. I got an apartment in Vegas.
I hear your wife has a backyard too, by the way.
I'm in the doghouse most of the time. So I, you know, my wife comes out to Vegas occasionally. Right. And then when she comes out, it's always, "Why do we have to eat now? Because I have a show. After the show, can we watch a movie? No, I like to watch Letterman go to sleep. I have to go to the gym now when I'm here. How come the air conditioners aren't too high? How come the music's so loud? How come you're driving too fast?" You know, if it wasn't for my wife, I wouldn't know when I'm driving too fast and the air conditioner was on. I mean, I have a crazy lifestyle, man. It's just nuts.
You do.
Hey, Bobby, are any of the, now that you're the big star, you know, the king of Hooters, yes, are any of those Hooters waitresses kind of sweet on you? Is that a problem a little bit?
Of course it's a problem. But here's
Is that a bonus system that you have?
What's this?
A bonus system?
Bonus. Here's the thing. You know, I'm not just a star of Hooters. My show's coming along very well. And considering that I don't have a puppet or a white tiger, and I don't do magic, and I don't read minds, and I can't hypnotize you, I have no dancing girls, I don't have fireworks, I don't have bubble machines, I really have no talent. So the fact that we're at Hooters, which is between the Tropicana, which is a dump, and there's a Motel 6 next door, which is like for transsexual hookers, so people aren't exactly walking by Hooters. So when they come to my show, and the waitresses, how do I say this diplomatically? I'm really good. I watch porno and I go to a strip club and I go to the gym every day. So I try to keep my mind away from all this stuff as much as I can.
Gotcha.
But it's tough. And then when I come home, my wife wants to, she's only trying to fix up our sex life, you know, and she'll say to me, "Well, you want me to dress up like a Hooters girl?" And I go, "Well, no, then I can't ever look at these girls again. We're not thinking about you." I mean, the one fantasy I have, you have to ruin that also. You have to wreck everything in my life. So she tries to, but you know what? She tries really hard. My wife has a friend whose marriage just fell apart. My wife said to me, "Maybe we should have like a date night. When you come home, we have a date." I said, "Well, that's fine, but if I have a date night, what if the chick wants to come home with me? Do I bring her back here? I mean, I'm willing to work with you, honey, but you know how the broads are, Ellie Mae. You couldn't stay married. It's brutal.
You know how the broads are, Ellie Mae.
I certainly do.
It's all about being romantic. Okay, let me give another example. It sounds like shtick, but it's not. So last night, the wife's making dinner, and I sneak up behind her. I start grinding my next to her, and she goes, "Don't you have a romantic bone in your body?" I go, "Yeah, don't you feel it? I got one romantic bone, and I'm trying to give it to you, and you don't appreciate any of my efforts."
That
and
that's the problem. Not romantic, you Bobby.
Well, to me, it is romantic.
Go up behind her, nuzzle her neck.
And do what?
Nuzzle her neck.
Nuzzle her neck? What, am I a vampire? Nuzzle her neck?
Put your arms around her. That's romantic. Grinding is not romantic.
And then give her, show her my one romantic
bone. And then give her 10 bucks.
I don't think that Bobby is going to be romantic.
I think we might be
wasting our time.
She probably knows that by now.
Okay, what's the clipping you have
really
here,
quick. Now, you guys saw this. So this is really great. And only a really intense Kevin and Bean fans will remember this. But, you know, they had a thing in Esquire magazine, the top 100 most influential people of the 20th century. And it has John Stewart and Stephen Colbert. Anyway, right under their name, the most trusted news sources of young men, 1776 to the present.
Okay.
And it started in the 17th century. I'll make this quick. There was a town crier, the guy that would yell out and give all the news.
Right.
Then it said newspapers would be the most trusted news source. Okay. Right. Then it would say the March of Time newsreels, which are the newsreels they played in movie theaters before the film started.
Okay.
Your parents' dinner conversations, Saturday Night Live's Weekend Update is where young men would find the news, The Daily Show, and The Colbert Report.
Sure.
But I skipped one. Okay. It said in 1976, the most important source of news for young men is Gordon Lightfoot's The Wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
How can that?
Are you kidding me?
But how can that be? That's not a news source.
But you take a look. I cut it out.
There's no possible way.
There's no joke there. It is the most trusted news
how
source.
How is it a news source?
Yeah, you call Esquire magazine.
That's fantastic.
Well, no, it was Esquire.
It's certainly where young people got their news about the Great Lakes' most notorious shipwreck, that's for sure.
But why out of SNL, Stephen Colbert, The Daily Show?
Every other thing is a source for news.
Right. Your parents' dinner conversations, the town crier, newsreels.
Oh, it's the worst song ever.
Yeah, I know.
That's the best song ever. Oh, it's the best song ever. Thank you, Bobby, for bringing that in once again.
If I had known that's where you were going, I wouldn't have let you into it.
I know.
It's just somebody being funny. That's what that is.
All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. Bobby Slayton is the Pitbull of comedy at the Hooters Las Vegas Night Owl Showroom Wednesday through Sunday at 9 p.m. And that's every year. Take any weeks off, Bobby? Or are you there Wednesday through Sunday, no matter what?
I take no time off. The only time I take off is 2 weeks before Christmas because things are slow. And then New Year's week, I go to San Francisco and I work my home club, The Punchline, where I started out. Wait, when are you guys coming back to Vegas? Any plans?
We've been to Vegas a couple of times.
We've had a couple of Vegas things fall through, too. Some things haven't worked out.
Right, but they fell through.
Wait, are you telling me you came to Vegas and didn't call me?
No, that's not what we're saying.
It was a very quick turn.
It was such a quick turnaround. It was like an hour.
Seriously, in Sunday, out on Monday.
What do you go in for?
We had a singles party. A swingers party?
A swingers party, actually.
Well, you could have invited me. How many people do you know in Vegas? You know me and Doug Elfman. Are you talking tomorrow?
We bring them all.
All right, fine. Great.
Sorry, dude. No, we'll come next time we're there.
Chris Angel didn't go, did he?
No, hate that guy.
It was a swingers party. You wouldn't have been interested with a bunch of hot married chicks who are looking to bang married guys, Bobby. That's not something you would have been interested in. Come on.
I think I remember remarking at one point, no one tell Bobby Slayton we were here this weekend.
We didn't invite him. I'm sure I wouldn't have gone, but the call would have been nice.
All right, Bobby Slayton, Hooters, Las Vegas, Wednesdays through Sundays.
All right, guys.
Thanks for coming
to see you.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
Very well done.
I think that song needs that. That's missing something.
Good. Yeah. 8:55 on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about the Dodgers and the Angels both being in the postseason playoffs starting today? We'll talk to former sports guy Matt Money Smith about that coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Wednesday. What's going on, Ralph?
You know, I always love to give you the casting notices, let you know how you can be on television. Well, one of my favorite shows is Looking for Contestants.
Can I be Paris Hilton's BFF?
Oh, that freaking thing. So glad I didn't watch that and Lucretia had to.
Yeah,
it sounded
horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible at best.
Horrible. She is so hateable. The thing about Paris, too, is she was kind of getting some traction on being sort of funny and in on her own joke kind of thing. When she did that
after the Barack Obama commercial.
The political commercial on Funny or Die.
They
were like,
funny.
Oh, maybe she gets it and she's kind of, all right, let's give her some slack. She's sort of funny. No. Not now. Not now.
No. Not now. That's what I'm saying. That's what you're saying, but I'm saying it too.
Good puppy. Here's a treat. All right, one of my favorite shows is Casting.
Okay.
How would you like to be in Hell's Kitchen? Yeah! Hell's Kitchen, everybody!
Yeah, I don't...
You gotta get yelled at? Have food thrown in your face? Is that what you're up for?
That'd be awesome. I want to go on and then just deck him the very first show.
What? Why does
what
that guy...
What are you doing, you donut? That's the worst risotto I've ever tasted! Bam! Just square off and just pop him.
Why does that guy yell at people?
Because that's his way. Because he's so passionate about the product.
Sounds like a good show. Sorry I'm missing it.
It's very entertaining.
Nope.
Actually. It is.
Nope.
Watch it.
Mm-mm.
If you'd like to put up with Chef Gordon Ramsay yelling at you in the kitchen, here's the thing. You put up with that, but if you win a lot of cash and get to be an executive chef at one of his high-end restaurants.
But don't you have to be a chef to get into that show?
Well, they look for people with some cooking experience. But they've had people from cooks and diners all the way through up to people who works in high-end restaurants on the show. Very entertaining program. Much to my surprise. I didn't think I'd like it either until I started watching it. Then I got sucked in.
Yeah, no.
Come on. Anyway, if you'd like to go, the open call is October the 6th. What's that, Monday? I think it's Monday.
Yes.
Monday, October the 6th from 1 p.m. to 5 p.m. in Culver City at the Conlin Company, which is 11825 Major Street, Culver City. If you'd like more information, you can go to fox.com/Hell's Kitchen, fox.com/Hell's Kitchen for more information.
Just thought I'd give you the heads up.
You wouldn't get yelled at.
Remember when you guys sent me down there to the auditions for Hell's Kitchen and there's a yoked out transvestite and she threatened me?
That was Hell's Kitchen?
That Hell's Kitchen?
Yep, 100%.
That's right. Are you sure?
I said, let me give you a sample of what you'll be seeing on the show. And I yelled at people when I tasted their food.
Oh, that's right.
And she was going to literally going to kick my ass.
Oh, I wish she would have.
Oh, I wish a yoked out transsexual had beaten you up.
She threw the, she had like a pot full of like a pot roast type thing and she just threw it on me.
I think you need to go back on Monday then.
Sounds sad. Yeah, sounds like that's a mine that needs
to be mined.
A little more ore.
Scary Spice is going to pose for Playboy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good
deal. That's a good idea. I was offered Playboy last year and again a couple months ago and I turned them down, but that's not to say I wouldn't consider it in the future. She said it one time and now apparently she has agreed to a 6-figure paycheck.
Oh, how about
appear nude in a forthcoming issue?
She seems like the most personality-filled Spice Girl.
She is a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's quite a category
of all the Spice Girls in the world. She has the most personality.
I mean, she's not the hottest.
No,
but she seems like she'd be the most fun to hang with.
She's got the best body.
Yeah, she sure does.
Sure does. Yeah. Speaking of sex, lies, and videotapes. Britney Spears, apparently,
yes,
is prepared to make an offer to Adnan Galib to buy the 2-hour sex tape that he has put on the market.
Making an offer to Adnan Galib is what got her into this trouble.
How? Why? Why? Apparently, she wants to stop it from being leaked onto the internet, as you can imagine.
She's
and so her lawyers are working overtime, according to the story from The Sun, a tabloid out of England, to do whatever it takes, including meeting his reported $10 million price tag.
What? He's basically extorting an ex-girlfriend now is what's happening then.
Yeah.
It's Britney, bitch.
Look, if you want it not to be to see the light of day, that's the only way to do it, really, right?
I'm confused because I feel like I've been missing out on life.
And I want to give you a heads up that there is apparently a memorial fund that has been established for Chris Baker and Charles Still, who died in the crash that injured Travis Barker and DJ AM in North Carolina. If you'd like to send contributions, the following address is where you want to send them to. Memorial Fund, 1840 South Milken, Ontario, California, 91761. They just had the memorial service Monday for little Chris Baker and DJ AM. Was able to arrive in a limousine and pay his respects to Baker, who was 29 when he passed away in the crash. More than 300 people turned out to honor him. And as you can imagine, Travis felt horrible because he couldn't attend, but yeah. He is still in a bad way and still recovering. So, Chris Baker is survived by his wife and his 2-year-old son, Sebastian. Mm-hmm. So, keep that in mind in case you want to make a donation to the Memorial Fund on behalf of Chris and Charles Still. So, a little sobering news.
Yep.
And lastly, some good news. Especially for Bean and the rest of those patchouli-wearing, pot-smoking, lava-lamp-having mother effers.
Yep, that's me. I'm all of those.
4 years
that's
after,
pretty accurate.
4 years after disbanding, Fish is reuniting.
Oh, now that is good news.
Oh,
they're a terrific band. Tell me you're not a Fish fan, Bean.
Absolutely. You know a terrific band.
I know
terrific
he is. He's one of those stinking patchouli-wearing.
Have you ever been in Vegas when one of those bands is playing?
Falafel-making in the parking lot, magical pouch satchel wearing around your neck.
I just like their music. That's all. I'm not part of the scene.
Smoking,
I don't follow them from town to town. I just enjoy their music.
Yellow acid, Kool-Aid drinking mother effers who stink up Vegas every time Fish plays.
I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it till I die. F*** hippies.
4 years after they broke up, they're getting back together to play March 6th, 7th, and 8th next year at the Hampton Coliseum in Hampton, Virginia. They will start playing on March 6th and then continue playing through March 8th, I think. And it's just one song.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
F that band.
They are one of the biggest live draws in America. I mean, when they do play, they can draw 90,000 people if they want. I mean, it's phenomenal how popular they are. They're really good. Have you heard any of their music, or are you just judging the band on their fans, Ralph?
Yes.
The problem is them getting back together, because Trey Anastasio is a genius guitar player and musician.
He is. And Mike Gordon's great, too, by the way.
Since
I mean, they
broke up.
How tough
musicians.
Is it to play that kind of music, though?
Come on.
Because it's so open-ended. You never know where it can go. So he's pretty versatile as a guitar player.
F*** hippies. I mean, period. F*** hippies. Been saying that my whole life. Be saying it until I die. F*** hippies.
Jerry Garcia once said, will you ever finish a song?
That was Jerry Garcia saying
it. If he says that.
He says it.
And then he died waiting for that song to finish.
On TV.
That's what I heard.
He got probation.
Today's celebrity birthday is Julie Andrews, 73 years old today. She, of course, was Sound of Music and Mary Poppins. She did another big, big movie. What the hell did she do?
Two Guys, One Horse.
Victor Victoria.
Victor Victoria, yeah. Two Guys, One
Horse. Princess Diaries.
She was in The Princess Diaries, of course. She was Anne Hathaway's fairy godmother or whatever hell she was in those.
Yeah,
Randy Quaid's 58. Isai Morales from NYPD Blue is 46 years old. And Cindy Margolis.
Yeah.
Model, actress, and popular internet pinup girl, 43 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1. What it do, nephew?
1-800-520-1067 is our toll-free number. You give us a call, you get on the air, and you win. This time it's a pair of tickets to join our pal Psycho Mike for a private K-Rock backlot tour at the Universal Studios Hollywood for Halloween.
Oh.
Horror Nights. October 10th is when Mike is going to be out there. This is like the third or fourth year in a row you've done that, right, Mike? I know
yes,
you look
sir.
Forward to it, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, the fans get the backlot tour. So 1-800-520-1067.
That's true.
That
is true.
Let's talk to Allie in Hollywood on line 4. This sounds like it has great potential. Hi, Allie. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, what it do, guys?
What it do?
So this weekend, I'm a journalist, and I got to cover my very first porn premiere of Digital Playground's Pirates 2.
Oh, how about that?
The long-awaited sequel to Pirates.
It's very awesome. It's one of the highest adult film production costs of all time. And, we got to hang out with some porn stars, and it turns out one of them wants to have a threesome with me and my boyfriend.
Fantastic.
Good for you, Allie.
That would be great.
What kind of journalist are you? Who are you reviewing the movie for?
Not exactly reviewing it, just reviewing the event. But I do write for the LA Times.
Really? The LA Times would be crazy about you being on the air talking about your threesomes. They would love that.
Going down anyway, so I don't care.
LA Times, they're not the only ones.
Encourages their reporters to get into the story.
Right,
so.
As much as possible.
Exactly. Do an expose.
Is it going to happen, Allie?
I'm assuming so. For my boyfriend's sake, I'll do it.
That's what you're talking about.
You're a giver.
All right.
Well, you're the best. Let us know. Call us back.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
When they got you covering those porn premieres, you know you're on your way to the Pulitzer.
You're practically Woodward and Bernstein.
Put that out and send it to your mom.
That's right. Put this in my
clipbook. Speaking of three ways, let's keep the theme going on line one. We've got Evan from Gardena. Hi, Evan. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show. What it do?
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Lisa May. Ralph, what it do?
What it do?
What it do? What's going on?
I need you guys to give me the Kevin and Bean karma for this upcoming series for the Dodgers and the Cubs. I have a bet with my girlfriend. She's from Chicago. I'm of course, from L.A.
Mm-hmm.
If the Dodgers win the series, we get a three-way.
Okay.
The way that God intended it with another female.
Sure, of course.
Right, the only way there is a three-way, right?
But if she wins, if the Cubs wins, then we get to do it with another guy of her choosing.
So, oh, dude.
What happened to B-Boys Ranger?
Dude! You got more riding on this than the Dodgers and the Cubs do.
No kidding.
So I need this Kevin to be not the curse, like, you know, you guys talk to the other sports stars and they tend to break legs or something.
You better hope for we interview one of the Cubs.
Yeah, what are we supposed to do? Interview the Cubs?
Interview the Cubs.
All right.
Evan, we need to make sure we're going to give you your prize. Thank you for calling. We need your phone number. We are going to need some sort of follow-up conversation with you and your girlfriend, okay?
Sounds great. I'll let you guys know.
All right, hold on.
Got to talk to him about that. All right. Hey, before we go to Rob, you got a little theme song you can play
nope.
for the first of Foxtober.
Nope.
Can we hear a little bit of that
do
real
not.
Quick?
Do not.
Rob is the guy who was in here yesterday getting the Megan Fox tattoo. He's got an update for us, but first, let's celebrate the new month.
Megan Fox, oh, Megan Fox. Big, bulgy things are going to happen. And by that, I mean a Megan Fox outside my window. Megan Fox behind the tree. I wish the whole world could see that she has the most perfect boobies, and it's Megan Fox outside my window plane.
Megan Fox.
Hi, I'm
Megan Fox.
Why is she so hot?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, remember Transformers when she was checking under the hood?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Yeah, that was good. I like to check under her hood, if you know what I mean, with my dipstick.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Oh, she's so hot. Yeah, and Kevin, you're gay if you don't like this song.
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
It's Foxtober!
Megan Fox, outside my window. Megan Fox, behind the tree.
Did I mention she's hot?
Hi, I'm Megan Fox.
Yeah, are we trying to run her away, scare her off so that she'll never talk to us? What's the goal there?
What? That song rocks. It's a tribute from Omar, one of her biggest fans. What's your problem, Kevin? All right, let's get the update from Rob, who got the Megan Fox tattoo live on the Kevin and Bean Show just yesterday, or Monday, I guess it was. Hey, Rob, what's up?
Foxtober, baby. Foxtober.
It sure is. How's the tattoo coming?
Great, beautiful. She's doing fine.
Fantastic.
She's doing good.
How's mom?
Mom's doing good.
Mom is good.
Good. Glad
yeah, mom's great. Dad's, he's not speaking to me.
Your father is not speaking
really?
To you. Your mom we talked to, and she was very against the tattoo.
Yeah, but she's understanding. She knows how I am. So she accepts me for who I am.
But Dad
my dad took it as a personal attack against him that I actually went live on air to do it.
Why?
Why?
I don't know. He just doesn't like tattoos, and he thought I was attacking him to do it, you know, to spite him.
Oh, you mean he thought you were doing it publicly to make it worse?
Yeah.
Oh.
Your dad's just freaked out because he finds himself inexcusably attracted to your calf now.
That's true.
I can't blame him.
He wants to hump your calf, and it's just all weird for him.
It's throwing him off.
Yeah. It's making him feel weird.
Rob, did you see the picture that we put up of your new tattoo at krock.com?
Yeah, it looks great, man.
It looks really, really good. I want people, if they haven't seen it, you got to check it out. We had White Lotus Tattoo down on Laguna Hills put this thing on. I mean, it looks fantastic. I mean, really, you can tell it's Megan Fox, which is a real compliment to the tattoo
artist. It looks exactly like Megan Fox.
Exactly.
I'm going to go back to White Lotus to do some more detail in a couple weeks. And,
oh, great.
And it's great, man. I have to admit, this is the single most craziest thing I've done in my life.
But it was worth losing your father over, right? I mean,
oh, yeah, come on.
Okay, that's what I thought.
You were going to kick Rocky soon anyway, so you know.
Sure.
Thank you for the update. Do we have time to say hi to Dewan real quick before we go?
Yes. I want
to
hear what Joey has to say. You kidding me?
Yeah.
All right, let's take Joey and then Dewan
then
real
we'll go
fast.
To Dewan.
Joey, good morning.
Hey, what it do?
What it do?
What it do?
All right, so I'm at a gas station over on Bundy. This is about a month or two ago. And K-Fed is there filling up, you know, his gas-guzzling SUV.
Kevin sure. Federline, yes?
Kevin Federline, the real Kevin Federline.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And so I go, you know, I'm totally playing it stupid. I go, hey, man, I love it when you and Brittany call in the K-Rock. It's off. And he turns to me, and he goes on this 2 to 3 minute, you know, expletive rant. And we're in a nutshell, he basically just says, yo, Kevin and Payne, K-Rock, they got what's coming to them. They got what's coming to them. I'm going to bring the rain.
Yes! Wait, he's going to bring the rain?
He said he's going to bring the rain.
Awesome.
We need it.
Can't wait. It's pretty
we do
dry.
Need the rain.
Pretty dry around here.
And he was like, they know.
We're being threatened by K-Fed. That's the best.
Fantastic.
That's the best thing ever. Joey, you did the right thing, by the way. That is a great listener right there who will play it dumb and say, oh, I love it when you call.
Thanks for instigating. We appreciate it.
Nicely done. All right, let's go to Dewan real quick. We got just about a minute. Dewan.
What's up, Kevin and Bean and Lisa?
How you
Hi,
doing,
Dewan.
Buddy?
I'm doing good. Thank you for asking.
Now, Dewan has been texting me all morning because he's upset we're not covering the new Beverly Hills 90210. Is that right, Dewan?
I'm not very upset with that. I always watch that show all the time.
You are?
I put it on the DVR.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And did you like the old Beverly Hills 90210 also, Dewan?
Oh, yes. I watched it before in the past. I was little.
I think we need Dewan to cover that show for us.
Yes.
Give us updates on what's happening on 90210.
Yes. I love those ladies on 90210.
Those bitches are too skinny, Dewan.
One of the characters plays Silver. The actress named Jessica Stroop.
She's too skinny, Dewan.
She looked like a little bit of Megan Fox to me.
Hey,
she's too skinny!
Yeah. So, Dewan, I can't hear you, Ralph. Dewan, what night does that show air?
She's awesome.
That's right.
Right.
That is right.
Whatever night it airs, Dewan, we'd like to talk to you the next day, and you can tell us what we missed, okay?
Oh, no problem
at all.
I don't
know why I'm asking him a question.
It's never going to happen.
It's on Tuesday nights. That's why he was texting us today about it.
All right. Can we talk to you next Wednesday, then, Dewan?
Yeah, if the ladies do come to your show live, please let me know.
We will.
We will.
Even though they're
okay,
very skinny. They're too
right.
skinny.
All right, we'll set it up, Dwan. Dave will call you.
Love
him. All right, we have no time, but I do need to thank Mr. Bobby Slayton for joining us. Hooters Las Vegas Night Owl Showroom, Wednesday through Sunday at 9. Big show tomorrow. Am I right, Kevin? Petros Papadakis will be here. Talking college football. Plus, we have a reporter for the Las Vegas Review-Journal who is going to tell us about Chris Angel's new show.
20 seconds.
And Ken Shamrock, who's fighting Kimbo Slice, coming up tomorrow.
15 seconds.
Don't be a sucker.
Are you done?
Kings of Leon, The Bravery, Nirvana, Linkin Park, Coldplay, and more. It's all part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock with Kat Corbett coming up next right here on K-Rock.